Welcome to the Indiana Basketball Source Podcast. I'm Trevor Andershock. Jeff Shanley will be joining us once again today. We're going to go through our annual sectional preview where we go through each of the 64 sectionals, talk about the games, talk about the top players, and then make our predictions on all 64 of them, Shark. So why don't we just jump right into sectional one of 4A there.
Sectional one taking place up at Lake Central High School. It's a seven-team sectional. The Tuesday game hosts Lake Central against Hammond Morton. Wednesday, we have Hammond Central against Highland and Gary West against Munster. East Chicago Central draws the bye into Friday. They will play the winner of Lake Central and Hammond Morton. And a couple of really good teams playing on Wednesday night. We have Hammond Central, kind of a consolidation of a couple high schools. Hammond High School made it to the regional championship game in 3A last year, a couple players back from that team, and then a Munster team that's always going to be really balanced and disciplined under Mike Hackett. Both of those teams are the only ones sitting with above 500 records. They could potentially meet in Friday's second semi.
Yeah, I was surprised that Sagarin Ratings and John Harrell's website has Hammond Central as a pretty big favorite to win this sectional. I thought Munster might have a little bit better chance in what they're giving them, sitting at 19-4 on the season. Like you said, Mike Hackett always has the Mustangs ready to go. Munster is led by junior kind of power forward center Brandon Trilly, moved back to the area from Arizona, I believe, this year, averaging 21 points and 7 rebounds a game for the Mustangs. But as I mentioned, Hammond Central is the favorite here. Jordan Woods, the junior point guard, is having a really good year for him. And then they just have a lot of balance as well. They have a couple of big guys inside. Maury Moore is pretty tough. He had a good game against Valpo over the weekend. So definitely going to be tough to beat Hammond here, but Munster and Lake Central should give him a good run for it.
Yeah, I think the second semifinal, Hammond Central Munster, looks like that's going to be the likely pairing on Friday. It's all going to be about tempo. Central get out and pressure Munster. Can Munster slow the pace down a little bit and play more of a defensive-minded game? You mentioned Trulli from Munster. You don't really see Munster kids putting up the numbers he does. I mean, when was the last time a Munster kid averaged over 20 a game? It's been a minute. Usually, you know, it's very a balanced team for the Mustangs, but he can really score inside and out. Do a lot of different things for them. And then you talk about Jordan Woods, one of the best 2023 guards in state, kind of unheralded statewide, but people know what he can do. He was a really good player for that Hammond team last year. So it's kind of hard to pick. You know, I think in postseason play, you always wonder who can be more efficient. You know, it's probably going to be a lower possession game, and I think that would favor the Mustangs here. So I think that's who I'm going to go with, Trevor.
Oh, going out on a little limb there. Shark, getting things started off on the right foot. I will also mention, can't overlook Lake Central. I know they're a little bit under 500 this year. They're a really balanced team. A few guys right around that 10-point mark, Jaden Clayton and Brandon Escobedo. Messed that one up, but definitely wouldn't overlook them to make a little run here, Shark. But I'm going to go with Hammond Central. I've watched the Wolves a handful of times this year. They've been a little bit up and down to close out the year. They blew a 10-point lead going in the fourth against Valpo on Friday and lost by 7. But just getting that lead kind of shows what they're capable of. So I'll go with Hammond Central here.
Sounds good. Let's slide over to section number two, taking place at Portage High School. This is another seven-team affair. Hobart plays Portage, the host, in the Tuesday night game. Wednesday, Valparaiso takes on Merrillville, and Chesterton gets Lowell. Crown Point with the bye. They will play the winner of Hobart and Portage. The two favorites in this sectional duked it out in a classic game a couple weeks ago, but there's also a couple teams that can kind of sneak up and be ready to pounce if something happens.
Yeah, obviously the Chester and Valpo, if that happens in the Friday game at Portage, is going to be a big game, but can't overlook Crown Point. AJ Lux is having a great year for him. Drew Adzia, I always mess up the last name here. Adzia for Crown Point, also having a good year for the Bulldogs. And then, like you said, can't really overlook the host Portage Indians here. Having a good year, pretty young team. Kamari Slaughter, the junior, but play a lot of freshmen and sophomores. So pretty well-balanced sectional here, Shark. Obviously, Chesterton Valpo are kind of grabbing the headlines, but really good sectional in sectional two.
Yeah, I think there's four really solid teams. You look at Maryville and Hobart both sitting at 8-14. The Lowell's winless on the year. So kind of a tough bottom end there for the Red Devils. But, you know, like you said, Crown Point and Portage aren't to be taken lightly. I was at the Portage-Valpo game back in early January, and Portage was up 16 on Valpo at the half, and Valpo kind of pressured them, was able to come back and win in a close one. So Portage, that's kind of the start of their downfall. They were, I think, 9-1 going into that game. They've just been 6-7 since. So really struggling for the Indians, but like you mentioned, a young Valpo balance led by the junior Mason Jones, but you have Blaine Dalton and Brees Walls at the guard spots that are seniors experience. Chesterton Ali would obviously with Travis Grace, and then Edzia and Lux, you mentioned, for Crown Point. So a lot of really good talent in this sectional. But you look at, I think, that second semifinal, Valpo and Chesterton, and that's just going to be, like you said, an all-out war. And going to be really interested to see what Valpo does guarding Grayson after he went for 40 in the regular.
Yeah, and Brees Wallace had a good game in that one. I mean, I think he's really kind of the engine that makes Valpo go. Mason Jones, as you said, is the leading scorer and was really tough in that Valpo game or in that Chesterton game. But Brees Wallace just does so much stuff for Valpo. Point guard, playmaker, will rebound, defend. And he fouled out late in regulation of that Chesterton game. Might be a little bit of a different outcome if he doesn't foul out there. So, like you said, should be an interesting one. Travis Grayson kind of, I would say he sealed his Indiana All-Star spot with that 40-point performance against Valpo, but always could use a little extra to make sure he makes that team. That'd be a huge thing for him and hopefully get his recruitment up a little bit more, mostly as NAIA offers right now. But obviously, like you said, or like we mentioned before, really can't overlook Crown Point Portage coming out of that other end either. When Crown Point's hitting shots, especially AJ Lux, I mean, they're pretty tough to beat, and he can fire away and get going at any point. So should be a good one. I'll be up there for that Friday night, but I think I definitely got to go with Chesterton here. Just go with the chalk to win it, Shark.
I'm going to go ahead and take Valpo. I think, you know, you were at that regular season game. Valpo had a chance to seal it at the end. And I just think they're going to try and, you know, make somebody other than Grayson beat them. And it's a roster that really plays off of Grayson well, but might struggle in terms of creating their own shot. So I think Valpo, extra attention on Grayson, maybe force those other guys to just be creative and do things on their own 1v1. So I'm going to give the Vikings a slight nod in this one. And as revenge for the regular season, I'm going to take the Vikings come out in a second.
Mixing it up here, Shark. I like it.
Sectional 3 at Plymouth, a 6-team affair. Mishawaka and Michigan City play in the first Tuesday game. A pair of South Bend teams, Adam and Riley, will go at it in the second Tuesday game. On Friday, LaPorte gets the Mishawaka Michigan City winner, while Plymouth, the host, get the Adams and Riley. A really balanced sectional. Mishawaka and Michigan City with 13-14 wins, respectively. Adams, Riley, and LaPorte all right around 500. And then Plymouth, the host, sitting at just 6-16, but they draw a bye and playing on their home floor. A really balanced sectional here. Last year, this sectional was really tough. Have some losses to graduation, but should still be a very competitive.
Yeah, I like how Michigan City's been playing down the stretch here. Won 3 in a row to end out the year. Jamie Hodges obviously had a huge game to cap off the regular season. I believe 41 points, a Michigan City high school record, the consolidated Michigan City at least. So he can always go nuts and really lead the Wolves to a win here or there. Like you said, that Mishawaka matchup will be good in the opening round there, Shark. A balanced team, like you said. They got some youngsters that they're playing. And you never really know what you're going to get out of Michigan City if Jamie Hodges isn't really going at a high level. So Mishawaka could pull that upset there. And the Adams-Riley game, the other Tuesday night game, anytime South Bend schools get together, you know it's going to be a fight and it's going to go down the wire. And these two teams have had many of those throughout the year. So it should be a good one in that second one. LaPorte, a little bit dangerous here, 11-11 on the year. Grant Ottlarge, senior leader for them, having a pretty good year for the Slicers. But I think I really like whoever comes out of that first game, Shark, Mishawaka or Michigan City. Whoever wins that, I think, is going to have a good road to the sectional title.
Yeah, and you look at those, I think, are the two favorites. You mentioned Jamie Hodges, and this is kind of a a reverse for what happened with Michigan City last year. They started out really strong and then just kind of fell apart in late January and down the stretch. Kind of flipping the script here on what happened to them last year, kind of building towards this sectional. So the Wolves, obviously, with Hodges are always going to be dangerous. And then also a team that's building is the South Bend Adams. They've won five in a row. One of those five was a 22-point win over Riley here about a week and a half ago. So the Wildcats of Riley are going to have revenge on their minds in that Tuesday night game. So and then the Mishawaka team, obviously that's a tough first round matchup, but they're a solid team that, you know, if they knock out Michigan City, they could be sitting prime to cut down the nets. So going to be tough to pick here. Obviously with Hodges being the most explosive scorer in that sectional, I think you might have to give the Wolves a little bit of an edge here, but Trevor, how do you think this plays out?
Yeah. Like I said, I think it comes down to that Mishawaka Michigan City game right off the bat. And I know Michigan City is a little volatile, but I'm going to go with the Wolves to get their first sectional in their consolidated Michigan City high school history.
I think I'm going to go ahead and take Michigan City as well. I think just Jamie Hodges playing at a really high level right now. He's so tough to guard. He's so compact, but yet strong, can take contact. And once he gets going, you know, kind of it's hard to turn him off because he will look to attack at any opening he gets. So I'll go ahead and go with the Wolves as well.
Sounds good.
Let's head over to Sectional 4 taking place at Elkhart. Another 6-team sectional. Warsaw and Penn, the first Tuesday game. Concord and Elkhart, the second Tuesday game. Northridge awaits the Warsaw-Penn winner, and Goshen will take on the Concord-Elkhart. So you got the bottom half of the bracket there, kind of a US 33 battle with Elkhart, Concord, and Goshen. But a really nice first-round game, Warsaw and Penn, a couple of really good junior guards matching up in that one, Trevor.
Yeah, I'll be there in Elkhart, Fort Shark. Marcus Burton for Penn, averaging 27.5 points per game for him. And then Jackson Gold for Warsaw. Should be a really good one. Warsaw really playing well down the stretch. They had a chance to beat Chesterton at Chesterton in early February. Let that one get away from them. But Jackson Gold really playing well for him. And the Tigers will be tough to beat in this one. But Penn, 20-2 on the year, should be the favorite behind Marcus Burton. Also have some solid supporting cast players in Joe Smith, averaging about 13.5, good three-point shooter. And then Joey Garwood, averaging about 10.5 for the Kingsmen. So Penn looking pretty strong, especially behind Burton, heading into the sectional shark.
Yeah, and that's a rematch of a January 11th game that saw Penn win 71-59. You look at Goshen in bye here. And kind of gets a better draw staying on the other side from Warsaw and Penn. The Redhawks 13-9. They hit a little bit of a rut here the last month and a half or so, just going 4-8 in their last 12, but have a couple of close losses in there to Warsaw by one on the road. Lost to LaPorte in overtime. So I don't think the Redhawks really would be considered a front runner for the sectional, but you have Drew Hogan at the guard spot, a really tough leader for them. And, you know, once they get into Saturday night, I think that's probably the likely destination for them. You know, it's a one game season at that point. So anything can happen with the Redhawks, but I do think the winner is going to come out of that first game on Tuesday between Warsaw and Penn. And I'm going to go ahead and take Marcus Burton in the Kings.
Okay. Like we're going to agree there, Shark. Like you said, Goshen has the easier path, if you will, but I think the cream of the crop here is Penn and Warsaw right behind them. So I'll take Penn in a close one Tuesday night, and then I think they win that section. So we're both on the same page there, Shark. What could go wrong?
Let's head over to Sectional 5, taking place outside of Waterloo and DeKalb. Another 6-team sectional. Snyder and Northside, two SEC rivals in the first Tuesday game. East Noble takes on Northrop the second Tuesday game. The host Barons will play the winner of Snyder and Northside. While Carroll gets the other bye, they will take on either East Noble or Fort Wayne Northrop. And this sectional has changed a lot from last year. Mainly, Carroll was one of the favorites, had Jalen Jackson. Well, he's at Northrop now, transferring for his senior year, and has really stepped up the Bruins game. A lot of teams, four of these six teams are right around 500. You have Snyder with the best record at 15-7, then Carroll struggling to a 2-20 mark here. And looking at the Panthers, I think as the favorite going in, you're not going to find a much more explosive duo at the guard spots than Carson Jenkins and Aiden Lambert for the
Panthers. Yeah, you can pretty much pencil in those two to score a combined 50 points a game, which is just insane at the high school level. The year that Carson Jenkins is having is really eye-catching. He was great last year and even took it up a notch this year. So really fun to watch. And then Aiden Lambert, one of the most explosive guards in the state. He can go for 40 on any night as well. So containing those two will not be easy by any stretch of the imagination here, Sharks. But I think there are a couple schools here that could potentially pull the upset. I mean, Northside has some really good talent, mostly young guys. They've improved over the last couple of years to 10-10 mark this year. But like you said, Snyder with Jenkins and Lambert are going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I think you have to look at them with the favorites. Northrop with Jalen Jackson, one of the leading scorers in the state here. And they've got some interesting pieces. Dallas Lawrence, a 6'6" forward that's super athletic, can stretch defenses from the perimeter and block shots. Devin Campos, Jaden Schmeck, guards that can play off of Jalen Jackson. Obviously, Jalen's one of the most physical guards in the state. You look at Northside, if they get Tate Johnson healthy, you know, Ryan Collins, Rashawn Bassett, guys who can kind of go off from deep. And they play a little bit of a hectic style that is always looking to attack. I think that matchup with Snyder is going to be a very, very high scoring game. And East Noble, you know, has some good size in there. They can kind of beat people up. So kind of a lot of different teams is sectional, but I think it all points to a Snyder Northrop matchup in the title game. I think if things play out like we can expect them to, and it's going to be real interesting. Snyder doesn't always have a penchant for guarding people all that well, and they've kind of struggled down the stretch. They've lost a couple games close here down the stretch. Monroe Central knocked them off. They lost by 40 to Lawrence North. Carmel put it on them by 32. They lost to Bishop Dwenger all within the past 4 weeks. Had to escape, scored 5 points in the last 8 seconds, forced overtime at Marion last Friday night. So not exactly smooth sailing heading in section, Roush squad. But still, they're so explosive that you have to respect them. I think, though, I'm going to go ahead and take Northrop to come out of this sectional. I think, you know, they have the best player in the sectional in Jalen Jackson, and he's just such a tough matchup. I think he's going to be able to really do some damage against these teams.
Yeah, I was thinking about Northrop myself there, Shark, but man, them losing by, 35 to Blackhawk in their last game of the season, I think that scares me, especially when you're talking about a defensive, somebody that's going to need a defensive team to stop Snyder. And you give up 80 to Blackhawk Christian. I think that scares me. So I'm going to go with Snyder here. I love the combo of Jenkins and Lambert, so I'll go with Snyder, Shark.
Let's head on down to Huntington North for Sectional 6, another six-team affair. The host Vikings take on Homestead in the first Tuesday night game. The second Tuesday game is Southside against Columbia City. New Haven draws the Huntington North Homestead winner in the first Friday semifinal, while the Wayne Generals will play either Southside or Columbia in the second semifinal. We've seen Homestead last year, obviously going undefeated in the regular season, winning this sectional. They have to be considered the prohibitive favorites here, sitting at 19-5, but there's some really good teams in this sectional that can creep up on them and play kind of contrasting styles a little bit that can make them really test the Spartans here.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. There's a few things that really stand out. Obviously, Columbia City having a great year at 17-5. Southside with Ashton Johnson's a tough cover. New Haven with Jakar Williams and Darian Brooks, tough duo there. Wayne's a little young and 4-17, but they've got some talent that could throw a wrench in things. But that first matchup between Huntington North and Homestead, that's going to decide a lot here, Shark. I like how Homestead's playing down the stretch. Wasn't the toughest schedule to end the season, but they won a bunch of games in a row. Let's see, 9 games in a row to end the season. And a lot of that came against these sectional opponents, Columbia City, New Haven. Then you mix in like Lawrence North victory over there. So Fletcher Lawyer probably the Mr. Basketball front runner right now. Has Homestead playing well down the stretch. So I'm going to go with Homestead here, Shark.
Yeah, I think you just look at the all-around roster makeup of Homestead. They have obviously one of the best scorers, best guards in state, and Fletcher Lawyer. Kyron Kapuki is a solid point guard that's coming into his own his junior year. And then they have some size here with the Leaper brothers, Andrew and Grant, that can beat you up inside and really affect things on the in the paint. I just think, you know, Huntington North has kind of struggled, losing four of their last six heading into sectionals. Might not be the most offensive gifted squad, but they're going to try and slow it down against Homestead. I like the makeup of this Columbia City team, just basically all guards that look to drive and kick. Andrew Hedrick, their junior, is really fantastic in the mid-range. So he's going to be able to put pressure. I think if Southside tries to get up and pressure him, he's going to be able to create some things for himself. Mason Baker, a solidly built 6-2 guard. For the Eagles, you have, like you said, Ashton Johnson and Amari Washington at Southside. That Tuesday night's going to be really good. That's where I'm going to be at. New Haven, you know, if they're in tune defensively, they can take out any one of these. But I think you just look at the quality of talent at Homestead. I think it's just going to be too much for any of the teams to overcome. So I'm going to take the Spartans.
Spartans for both of us.
Sectional 7 at Logansport. 6 teams playing here. Lafayette, Jeff, and McCutcheon, two rivals, get us started on Tuesday night. Marion and Harrison will be the second Tuesday night game. The host, Barry's, just 3-18 on the year, but they get a bye into the first Friday semifinal. And the Kokomo Wildcats will have the second semifinal bye. They'll face either Marion or Harrison. Three really good teams here, Jeff, Harrison, and Kokomo, all kind of with different players, you know, leading them. You have Javon Buchanan from Jeff, Jonah Lucas and Ben Henderson at the guard spots for Harrison, and then Flory Badunga for Kokomo inside, just putting up monsters.
Yeah, Flory averaging something around 17.5 and like 13.5 rebounds per game to go along with 4 or 5 blocks. Just a dominant force inside that you don't see very often in the high school level. And just a sophomore for Kokomo, so should be around for a couple more years. But really like how the draw worked out for Lafayette Jeff here, Shark. The 19-4 Broncos get McCutcheon, who's just 7-14 on the year. If they win that one, Logansport, who is 3-18, await them in that Friday semifinal. So really like how things worked out for Javon Buchanan and Jeff here. But if that Harrison-Kokomo matchup does come to fruition here, Shark, really interested to see how that works out. Like you said, Jonah Lucas and Ben Henderson having great years. Lucas, a senior, really stepped up his scoring, always been known as a defensive stopper, but really became a scorer for Harrison this year. Will be interesting to see how they match up with Kokomo, especially trying to slow down Flory inside. That will be really tough for him. But just with the way the draw works, I think the safer bet for me here, Shark, would be Lafayette Jeff. So I'll go with them. Really love Buchanan's game, his ability to hit shots, contested shots over people. I think that makes a big difference for the Broncos, Shark.
Yeah, I think that Harrison-Kokomo game, like you say, kind of a contrast of styles. You know, can Harrison get enough stops defensively and keep Badunga off the boards, you know, on their defensive end, Kokomo's offensive end, to get Lucas and Henderson out where they can make plays and look to attack. I think the winner of that game is going to be, you know, battle tested. Jeff, obviously, with the easier draw. So it's going to be hard to pick against the Broncos, but I think I'm actually going to go Harrison on this one, a slight upset pick, but I think those two guards, really complement each other very well. So I'm going to take, the Raiders to come out of this section.
All right. Good deal, Shark.
Let's head down to sectional 8 in Noblesville. One of the best sectionals in the state this year, Tuesday night, in the mill, Zionsville against the hosts Millers in the first game, then Westfield and Fishers in the second game. Carmel draws the bye and will face the winner of either Zionsville or Noblesville, while Hamilton Southeastern will face either Westfield or Fishers in the second game on Friday night. And Trevor, there's a lot of talent, a lot of really quality here in this.
Yeah, what a loaded sectional. And the records look great on paper, and they would be even better if Logan Zions didn't miss about a month or so for Zionsville and Braden Smith in a similar boat for Westfield. Both of those teams were towards the top of 4A before the injuries kind of slid a bit without, obviously, those two stars for each team. But still, just an overall loaded field. Even HSC under 500 on the year, but Sam Jacobs had a great year. Really no pushover by any means sitting in that bye game for Friday night. So should be an interesting one. I don't know how much chance give Noblesville to beat Zionsville now that Logan Imes is back, but that should be a pretty good game. And then obviously Westfield against Fishers. I mean, you could move that to a semi-state game and nobody would really bat an eye about those teams getting deep, but instead we get them in the first round here. Sharks should be fun to see exactly how those two match up and if Brayden Smith can carry the Shamrocks to a victory Tuesday night.
Yeah, and we look at this field and talked all about that, and then you get to Carmel with a bye. Yeah. A team that has not waltzed through, but they've won the last two 4A state titles. So you look, they haven't lost a tournament game since the state championship in 2018.
I thought it was the Eisenhower administration was the last.
It might as well have been. So I think, you know, the Greyhounds, we've talked about this before. You kind of have to look at somebody's got to be able to beat them on a given night. They're not going to beat themselves. I think HSE could play spoiler here. They gave Fishers a really good game in the regular season in the Mudsock game. You know, Westfield's going to have to be wary of that if they get by too. So it's hard to say here who to pick, because gosh, any one of these teams that come out of this sectional could make a long tournament. But I'm going to go ahead and take the Greyhounds. I think you look at that, somebody's going to have to knock them off, kind of see it to believe it type deal for them. So I'm going to take Carmel coming out of section.
All right. And like you said, I mean, tough to pick against Carmel. If Zionsville does beat Noblesville in that first game, they'll match them up against Carmel Friday night. It seems like forever ago, but Zionsville did beat Carmel in that season opener way back in November, Sharks. So that won't be an easy game for Carmel. But like you said, I got to go with Carmel. They've had some up and downs this year, but they aren't going to beat themselves. Pete Sewer's playing great. Charlie Williams kind of plays that point center position once in a while. It can really kick it out, and if you're going to try to give extra attention to him inside, he'll kick it to Orm or Suter. So I'll go with Carmel as well. Tough to pick somebody here, Shark, but I'm going with Carmel.
Let's head over to the southern half of 4A's bracket, sectional 9 at Greenfield Central, 7th affair. Let's see Central and New Palestine kick us off on Tuesday night. The Wednesday slate, Pendleton Heights versus Mount Vernon in the first game, Greenfield Central against Anderson in the second game. The Richmond Red Devils get the bye to Friday. They'll play the Muncie Central New Pal winner. There's four really good teams here, Trevor, that are all very balanced. So wouldn't be surprised, at least in my opinion, if any one of those four came out victorious on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm planning to be there Wednesday night, Shark, for that doubleheader of Pendleton Heights against Mount Vernon and Greenfield Central against Anderson. Seems like it'll be a really good doubleheader there. Really interested to see that Anderson-Greenfield Central game. Obviously, the guard matchup will be really good. Anderson with Tyrell Willis and Amir Carson and going against Dylan Moles and the freshman Braylon Mullins for Greenfield Central. So just looking overall here, Shark, Mount Vernon, obviously 19-2 on the year. They have the Girard twins, Ahmad and Armand, both going to IUPUI next year. They've been really tough all year. And the New Palestine with Steel Brassfield leading the way at 17-6, also tough. So what are your overall thoughts here, Shark?
You know, we talked about Snyder a little while ago and their dynamic backcourt. Anderson with Wills and Carson, certainly capable of giving those two a run for their money. They're really exciting to watch when those two get going. Carson just absolute flamethrower from deep. He's got a really nice shot and can get it off against anybody. Mount Vernon, though, you look at Ahmad Girard, one of the best athletes in state on the wing. He can really get it going out in transition. And then Greenfield Central, kind of a younger team, but certainly one that's had some success this year. And then New Pal, I think, gets a really good draw with 4-18 Muncie Central than a sub 500 Richmond team. They got a they have to be pleased that they don't won't see Greenfield, Anderson, or Mount Vernon on their side of the bracket. So yeah, it's going to be hard for me to pick, you know, a winner in this sectional. I think, you know, we mentioned all four of those teams that are all capable. I'm going to go slight underdog pick here and take the Anderson Indians to win this sectional.
Oh man, going with Anderson here, Shark. Yeah, like you said, it's going to be a tough one. I'm going to go Mount Vernon. I think it's just a slightly easier path since they get Pendleton Heights in that first game than Anderson. Do like how Greenfield Central's playing and New Palestine's no pushover, but I'm going to go with Mount Vernon, Shark.
Let's head over to Sectional 10, taking place this year at North Central High School. Seven teams in this one, Lawrence North and Attucks, the Tuesday night game. Wednesday, North Central faces Cathedral and Lawrence Central faces Tech. Warren Central draws the bye to get either LN or Attucks in the first Friday night game. And same old song and dance here for Sectional 10. This is going to be an absolute dogfight here for these six games. And a lot of teams and a lot of talent are going to be going home pretty early in this state tournament, Trevor.
Yeah, no easy draw here, Shark. Every team is tough. Even Lawrence Central, the 6-15 on the year, can't even overlook them. They've got some firepower with Dejon Craig, Kamari Jones, and Josh Mickens. So really can't even get a good draw in Sectional 10. Lawrence North will be without CJ Gunn after getting two T's in the final Lawrence North game. So he has to sit out that opener against Attucks. Attucks, a young team, playing really well down the stretch, though, Shark. Desmond Briscoe, 6'7", freshman inside, blocks a lot of shots, rebounds, and scores. Christian Nunn attacking off the dribble. Attucks is really, really playing their best basketball down the stretch here. North Central against Cathedrals should be a good one. I haven't heard. Is Joey Brown going to be back for that one? He took a tough fall late in the season. They were hoping to get him back. So if he plays, obviously North Central is a lot better and a bigger threat to Cathedral. But either way, it should be a good game. Cathedral been really up and down, had some great moments beating Louisville Mail there last week or so. Tayshawn Comer basically playing at a Mr. Basketball level all year for him, was their most consistent guy. You know, Jason Delaney probably has the most overall talent in the state on his roster this year, Shark.
Yeah, but then you look at Tech's dynamic backcourt of Davion Turner, Reggie Bash, and Rasheed Jones. You have Antonio Lisenby as a high flyer, crashing the lane for rebounds and dunks. Warren Central, Tay Davis, and Chandler Jackson, a really, really talented duo there. LN, you know, I think has been playing as well as anybody down the stretch, but they get a good Attucks team without their leader in CJ Gunn. That could prove very costly for the Wildcats. I'm interested to see, because if you asked me a week ago what I would do, I'd probably say LN is would have been my pick, but now, you know, it's going to be tough for them to get out of the first round playing without CJ Gunn. So that might change it up a little bit. Like you said, Joey Brown for North Central, his status is a big question mark there. He obviously makes the North Central a really talented team. Just a lot of questions that need to be answered in this sectional, but I'm going to go with Cathedral. I know they've struggled in postseason play the last few years, but you look at Tayshawn Comer, he's putting together a fine senior season. Seems that Xavier Booker's kind of rounding into form, and Jaron Tibbs, Jackson Edwards, Jake Davis, Sincere Germany, they've got a really nice supporting cast. So I'm going to give this one to the Irish.
Yeah, you can't go wrong picking the Irish here, Shark. I do think Warren Central is a dangerous team with that bye, and then let's say Attucks beats Lawrence North. I think Warren Central matches up pretty well with Attucks. Could make a championship game run here. But I've been a fan of Cathedral's talent all year, and I think they come together and make a deep run here, Shark. So I'm going with Cathedral as well. Tech, their ceiling is as high as anybody. I mean, when they get outrun Reggie Bass, Lisenby, Rasheed Jones, like you said, and then Davion Turner hitting shots from the outside. Fun team to watch. They can be a little bit, you know, go really well one half, really poorly the next half. Obviously, that does not mix well in postseason. especially playing this top level competition. So I'll go with Cathedral Shark.
Let's head over to the West Side, Sectional 11 and Ben Davis. Southport and Pike will start us on Tuesday night. Roncalli and the host Giants, a second game on Tuesday. Perry Meridian draws the first bye. Decatur Central draws the second bye. The two favorites here, I think you have to say Pike and Ben Davis, but they need to be wary of a Southport team that's got some talent and a Decatur Central team that's definitely one of the tougher teams in state.
Yeah, obviously on paper, you would think, you know, Pike and Ben Davis, easy one to see a match up in the title game here, but Decatur Central's beat both those teams this year. Javon Tracy having a great year for him, can really go off for, you know, 20 or 30 points in any game. Pretty solid squad there on the south side, Shark. And then, like you said, Southport as well, A.J. Dantzler, Nickens Limba, Keon Miller. Those three, you know, are as good as anybody when they're clicking, so they can be really tough to beat. Just a really overall pretty solid sectional here, hosted by Ben Davis, Shark. Where do you see this shaking out?
Yeah, you look at it. Pike kind of limping down the stretch, just 5-7 in their last 12. A Southport team led by Keon Miller, A.J. Dantzler at the guard spots, really talented. Then you have Nick and Lumba inside, 6'6", just physical rebounder and shot blocker. You mentioned Tracy at Decatur Central. And then Ben Davis, kind of a younger squad. Mark Zachary, the freshman, K.J. Windham, the sophomore in the backcourt. Do they have enough experience? You know, I think playing on their home floor definitely is going to help them in that regard. But that semifinal game potentially between them and Decatur Central is going to be a dogfight. But I think, you know, Ben Davis, I'm gonna give them the edge here. Just a lot of talent for the Giants. You have Zane Doty in the middle, a double-double threat, and definitely going to be able to turn away a bunch of shots or at least alter them inside. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Giants to come out of their home section.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Ben Davis at full strength too often down the stretch here. Shane Arnold, like, you know, a dirty work type of guy, lunch pail guy, has been in and out of the lineup. Clay Butler has had some, you know, in and out of the lineup as well. That allowed Mark Zachary, the freshman, to step in. Yet he could be a huge difference maker in this one. I don't think he played or played much against Decatur Central in that loss. So that could be kind of a thing that flips it to Ben Davis's advantage here. Never like going against a guy like Ryan Conwell, though, Shark, Pike. Just a really classic Pike team over the last few years. You got some athletes, got a big-time scorer in Conwell. Ken Caskey as a sophomore is a really high upside. Should be fun to watch him. Dante Porch, a senior forward, does a lot of good things around the basket and get out in transition. And then Devin Woods at the point guard spot as a junior has a lot of experience. So you can't really overlook a lot of these teams, Shark, and should be fun to watch. But I'm going to take Ben Davis. I think the emergence of Mark Zachary, I think that really puts them over the top here, Shark.
All right. We're both on the Ben Davis bandwagon. Let's roll down I-70 to Sectional 12 at Terre Haute North. The host Patriots, 20-4 on the year. They'll get a test with Mooresville here in the first Tuesday night game. Plainfield and Terre Haute South with the second Tuesday night game. Brownsburg will draw the winner of North and Mooresville, while Avon with the second bye draws either Plainfield or Terre Haute South. You see the two Terre Haute schools getting to play on Tuesday night. Very spread out sectional. This is one of the 4A sectionals I think travel could be a little bit of a factor in. You know, a lot of schools about 45 minutes to an hour away from Terre Haute. But you look at Brownsburg, I think, you know, maybe the preliminary favorite in here. They don't have to travel midweek. They just get the Friday bye. But could potentially see Terre Haute North having a really good season, 20 wins already in the semifinals. So be interesting matchups here. Then the bottom half of the bracket, I think, is wide open with Plainfield and Avon. You know, those two, if they meet up in the second game on Friday, you know, it's almost a pick 'em in my eyes, the way Krishan McCray's been playing for Avon lately. It's hard to go against the wing duo of Diallo and Catchings for Browns.
Yeah, I really like Brownsburg here. They play a lot of young guys. Yeah, Diallo, a junior, and then Catching, a sophomore, play a few other sophomores as well. Sean Tapula inside gives them a lot of toughness, a lot of size and athleticism. I really like them going forward. Like you said, can't overlook Terre Haute North, 20-4 on the year. Mark Hankins has played really well for them. Avon's a little bit young outside of McCray for them, but They've been playing pretty well as also, so should be pretty good here at Terre Haute North, but I'm going to go with Brownsburg. Just that talent level is too much to overlook them and take somebody else here at Sharks. So I'll take Brownsburg.
I'm going to take Brownsburg as well. I think the bye is really key for them. And just a little too much size to a Terre Haute North team. Not the biggest team in the state. Sean Tapula, I think he can be a difference maker on the offensive glass for the Bulldogs. I'm going to go Brownsburg as well. Moving on to sectional 13 at Greenwood. Six teams here, Shelbyville and Franklin, the first Tuesday night game. Greenwood and Franklin Central, the second Tuesday night game. Whiteland will play the Shelbyville-Franklin winner, and Center Grove gets the Greenwood-Franklin Central winner. Just one team above 500 in the sectional, and it's Whiteland, who was also drawn the bye here.
Yeah, Whiteland, obviously a really good draw. They get the bye and then play an under 500 team. Obviously, since everybody else is under 500, but don't overlook Center Grove here, Shark. Taven Jackson's not there. He enrolled early at Tennessee to play football for the Vols, but they're still a strong team, always well coached under Zach Hahn. They get the other bye into Friday night, then await the winner of Greenwood and Franklin Central. So I wouldn't just pencil in Whiteland just yet, Shark, even though they are the only team over 500.
Yeah, I think their road may be a bit easier with Shelbyville or Franklin. Franklin got some youth on their team. They may not be ready yet. Franklin Central, a young team with Lena Brooks there at the guard spot as a sophomore. You know, Whiteland has shown this year that there's somebody to be reckoned with. Center Grove playing well as of lately. I think the byes definitely set up well for both those teams. I'm going to go Whiteland, though. I think, you know, they won Johnson County earlier this year against a bunch of these same. So it's hard for me to see them slipping. Center Grove just doesn't have just the raw talent they've had in years past. You know, a quality team for Zach. Maybe just don't have that singular guy that can carry them through a dry spell here in the postseason. So with that, I'm going to have to take Whiteland.
Yeah, Whiteland's got a lot of a really well-balanced team, Shark. We got four guys over around 10, 11 points a game. Austin Willoughby, White McLaughlin, the sophomore, really good athlete. Max Sullivan, who's been in the lineup for a long time for Whiteland. And then Drew Higdon also scoring about 11 a game, 10 and a half, 11 a game. So that'll be tough. But I'm going to go out on a slightly different path here, Shark. I'm going to pick the Trojans of Center Grove to get this one done.
Okay, let's head over to Martinsville for sectional 14 action. Tuesday, Columbus East and Bloomington North, followed by Bloomington South and Martinsville. Columbus East in first. Columbus North draws the bye into the first Friday semifinal, and East Central draws the bye into the second Friday semifinal. Nice for East Central to not have to drive all the way to Martinsville. That's a lengthy bus ride, probably one of the longer sectional bus rides you'll see in the state. They only have to go over on Friday night. And then the two Bloomington schools there playing on Tuesday night. I think you have to look at those two as potential sectional favorites, but don't count out Columbus North or East Central.
Yeah, I had a chance to see the Bloomington North New Albany game from Friday night. North just kind of picked them apart and pulled away with ease down the stretch. Nick Kleibert back for him, the senior point guard. He does a little bit of everything with his shooting and playmaking ability. JQ Roberts, his size for the Cougars really causes problems for the opponents. And you guys got like Nate Hoffman and Marco Finch making outside shots for Bloomington North. So they'll be tough to beat. Really got on a roll here late, Shark. They haven't lost since holiday tournament, December 28th. So they're really playing well. Definitely think they're the heavy favorite here. But like you said, can never count out Bloomington South, especially when you match up that city rivalry game, and then East Central also playing well.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned Bloomington North. We talk a lot about JQ Roberts and Kleiber as their headliners, but I think, you know, Hoffman, Finch, Conte, their supporting cast, all very capable shooters, all very easily can, you know, go on a run themselves. So I think it's, you know, it's not just the two stars for Bloomington North, but this is going to be a tough road for whoever comes out of here. You got four really quality teams. I think that
the semifinals on Friday should be two really, really good games. But I just don't think, you know, there's anybody that has as good of a duo inside-outside as Kleiber and Roberts. So I'm going to take Bloomington North to come out.
Yeah, I like the duo of Sam King and Cooper Horn for Columbus North Shark. But like you said, I think Bloomington North just has a little bit too much. Really tough to pick against the Cougars here. And then Bloomington South as well. Like we said, we can't write them off in that Friday matchup with North, but I've got to go with the favorite here, Shark. I got to go with North. I thought they played really well Friday when I saw them, so I'm going Bloomington North as well.
All right, let's head over to Sectional 15 at Seymour. Six teams here, Jeffersonville and Bloomington North. First game Tuesday, Floyd Central and Jennings County take the second game. The host Owls get the bye into the first Friday semifinal. They'll play either Jeffersonville or Bedford North Lawrence. New Albany, the bye into the second semifinal. They will face the winner of Floyd Central and East County. Three teams with really good records here. Two teams sitting right at 500. A lot of balance here. And the worst record in the field, Jeffersonville, kind of deceiving because they have as much talent as anybody, you know, in the southern part of the state if they're all healthy.
Yeah, when you have Will Levings Watts and Brazier Razor Moore causing problems there, Shark. Tough to beat. I watched their game against Castle from over the weekend. Kind of let one slip away, but they are tough. They play some youngsters like Michael Cooper in the backcourt, Trey Singleton inside. But like you said, those seniors, Will Levings Watts, Razor Moore, Kobe Stoudemire, really tough, even though they're only 7-11. And then you have like New Albany, only 11-11. And Tucker Bevin, the Louisville baseball commit, and Justin Carter, a really good duo right there in the backcourt. They don't have the depth as these other teams, but when you have Jeffersonville and New Albany as, you know, two of the worst records in the sectional, it's pretty rare here, Shark. Those are usually the favorites here.
Yeah, Floyd Central team, I think, is probably the odds-on favorite going in. Caleb Washington and crew down there with the Highlanders having a nice year sitting at 17-4. But, you know, if they get past Jennings County, that's a huge rivalry game with Floyd Central, New Albany potentially in the semifinals. So definitely going to be a tough path for Floyd Central to get out of here. You have Seymour at 15-6, drawing a bye. Jeffersonville kind of, hate to say, flying under the radar with as much talent as they have, but, you know, they're certainly capable as anybody of coming out of this sectional. But I think Floyd Central, just a lot of size there, a lot of good playmaking at the guard spots that won't wow you, but just gets the job done. So I'm going to go with the Highlanders taking this one here.
Yeah, I thought Floyd Central was really the class of Southern Indiana 4A for most of the year. Kyle Potes in the backcourt with Brady Moore on the wing, Caleb Washington, and then Wesley Chalowski inside. I mean, that's a tough starting five there, Shark. But, man, it's tough to go against somebody with Jeffersonville with so much talent. You would think that things come together, especially they're mostly seniors, that core at least. You would think they might have one run in them and get things going here. But Floyd Central, I've liked them all year. I'm going to go with Floyd Central as well, Shark. I'm bailing out. I'm taking the easy road here.
All right. And in our last 4A sectional, sectional 16 over at Evansville North, six teams going into action there. Wright Central, first game Tuesday, Jasper and the host North, second game on Tuesday. Harrison with the bye will face either Wrights or Evansville Central, and Castle will get either the Jasper or Evansville North in the second Friday game. Very balanced sectional here. Jasper comes in with the best record at 18-4, but maybe doesn't play as tough of a schedule overall as some of these Evansville teams do. But Castle and Jasper, that potential matchup in the second Friday game, or it could be the host Evansville North. This just seems like a really tough sectional to pick.
Yeah, no huge favorite here. I really like Evansville Harrison, even though they're 10-11. Johnny Summers has had a really good senior year, kind of flying a little bit under the college radar, but he can take over games. Castle sitting at 15-7, really kind of a balanced team. But Weston Egner, really tough. I mean, straight line, uses his strength, can overpower guys, you know, driving to the basket. He took over that game against Jeffersonville Friday night, scored 24 of his 27 in the second half to push Castle to a win there. So it should be a fun one. Evansville North having a good year at 13-10. But like you said, pretty wide open here, Sharks.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and take Castle. Even though they have a little bit of a tougher road, I just think drawing the bye helps them. And I think the Knights, you know, can kind of maybe let other teams knock each other out and then be there to pick up the scraps. So I'm going to go with Castle.
Baldwin there, Shark. I'm going to go see. Tough pass or path for Wrights, but I'm going to take Wrights here. Isaac Higgs, junior point guard, solid. Gavin Shippert, when he's played, Rice has been a different team. So I'm gonna take Rice. I do love that that Friday night at Evansville North should be really good, but I'll take Rice to win this.
All right, that concludes our 4A sectional preview for the 2022 IHSAA state.
Let's move right into 3A Sharks starting up north at Hanover Central.
Yeah, just five teams in this sectional. Lighthouse and Griffith play in the Tuesday game. Calumet and River Forest, the first Friday game. Then Hanover Central will draw the Lighthouse-Griffith winner. And Calumet sitting at 13-9, the only team above 500 in the sectional. But certainly not a cakewalk for Calumet here. Few other teams with eyes of knocking them off and cutting down the nets on Saturday.
Yeah, kind of used to Griffith being a better team here. Hanover Central, even though they lost Landon Babusiak, still had a decent year. But I think you got to go with Calumet. Everybody else under 500 on the season, Shark, I'm going to go with Calumet.
Yeah, I think Calumet as well. You know, they did lose to Lighthouse. One of Lighthouse's five wins on the year came at Calumet's expense. But they basically drawing a bye into Friday night. Just have to win two games. I think River Forest might not be up to the task. And then whoever comes out of that other half of the bracket, I think, you know, Calumet might have a little bit of advantage over. So I'm going to take Calumet as well.
Good deal. Let's move over to the Kankakee Valley sectional, Shark.
Yeah, sectional A team, another five-team affair. Culver Academy and the host Kankakee Valley Tuesday night. And then New Prairie takes on Knox while Wheeler awaits the Culver Academy Valley game. This is something maybe we haven't seen a whole lot of it with this draw, but the two best teams squaring off right away on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I really like Culver Academy, Shark. Cooper Farrell really leading the way there, junior, about 6'4", 6'5", can play inside, outside, his shots, good athlete. He's got them at a 15-7 on the year. And then Kankakee Valley, also 15-7. A little bit more balance, two guys scoring 13 a game and then one at 10. You got Nick McCash at 13, Cam Webster almost at 14, and then Luke Andre at about 10 a game. So should be a good matchup here. I think Kankakee wants to play at a slow pace, kind of control it. Culver Academy, you know, they're not going to run and gun, but I think they want to play slightly faster than what Kankakee Valley wants to play here, Shark. Should be a good one in that opening game. But like you said, I think it basically comes down to these two teams. Wheeler's had a pretty brutal season, 2-20. New Prairie, just 5-17, and Knox at 9-13. I think it's pretty clear the heavy favorite comes for this first game.
Yeah, and I like, you know, Culver always playing a tougher schedule, kind of test themselves against some better competition so that they're prepared going into the 4A tournament. So, like you said, Cooper Farrell, a really good athlete there for Mark Galloway's squad. I think he can carry Culver, so that's who I'm going to pick here in this section.
All right, we're on both the same team for two straight 3A teams. We better shake this up, Shark.
Well, let's see if we can do that at sectional 19 at Mishawaka Marion. Six teams here, South Bend Clay and Jimtown, the first Tuesday game. Southern Washington and John Glenn, the second Tuesday night game. Mishawaka Marion draws the bye. Will face either Clay or Jimtown, while South Bend St. Joe, last year's semi-state finalist, will draw either Washington or Glenn in second semifinal here. Really interesting sectional. I think headlined by the 22-1 Falcons of John Glenn and the 19-3 Knights of Chewaukum.
Yeah, this might be the best 3A sectional in the state, Shark. A lot of teams that could make deep runs if they just get out of the sectional. Even a team like South Bend St. Joe at 12-10 has some talent and could make some noise here. But like you said, John Glenn, 22-1. They beat Mishawaka Marion earlier in the year. Really great year for Bryson Hanna, inside big fella for John Glenn. But I love the balance of Marion, Shark. Richard Brooks, a lot of seniors as well. Richard Brooks. Who else we got there? Cleo Kalikia.
You got the junior Deglin Sullivan.
Yeah, Sullivan's really tough. He's been producing since his freshman year for him. Now a junior, has a lot of experience for him. So that'll be fun. And that South Bend Washington team, really good. Marcus Northern, the junior point guard, scoring about 15 a game. He's tough. And then Tyler Davis as well for him. So no pushover in this one, Shark.
Yeah, I think you look at Glenn obviously sitting at 22-1, having a fantastic year. That potential matchup with Mishawaka Marion wouldn't happen until the championship game. Glenn was a 4-point winner in the regular season, a 7-point winner over their first round opponent, South Bend Washington. And then you have, you know, Marion getting a decent draw with a pair of 7-15 teams on their side of the bracket, might have the easiest route into the championship game out of any of the. So again, like you said, a really balanced, tough sectional to pick. I think I'm going to go with Mishawaka Marion coming out of this one here. I think the bye helps a little bit. Really tough first round game for John.
Yeah, the road for John Glenn is pretty tough. Like we said, I like Washington. They win that one, they got to play a pretty solid St. Joe team as well. That just makes it so tough to pick John Glenn. You're going to have to play three really tough games to win this one, where Mishawaka Marion gets the bye. And then, you know, a slightly easier game against Clay or Jimtown just makes it so much more appetizing or appealing to get Marion here. I'm going to go with the Knights as well, Sharks. We're 3-for-3 and picking the same 3A team.
Heading over to sectional 20 at Makanaqua, a seven-team affair here. Benton Central and West Lafayette play in the Tuesday night game. Wednesday should be a pair of really nice games. Twin Lakes and Makanaqua. And then Peru and Western, Northwestern draws the bye here into Friday. They'll play the Benton Central West Lafayette. You look at that Wednesday night's pair of games here. Peru, I think, sitting as a favorite, but the host Braves and Makanaqua waiting in the wings. That should be a really good Wednesday night and potentially a really good second semifinal Friday.
Yeah, that Peru-Western game should be really good. I saw Western to start the year. Really like their team. Michael Lewis always has them playing well. And Evan Kretz, a senior forward for him. Tough matchup, you know, big, strong forward that can hit shots from the outside. Peru's had a really good year. Matthew Ross scoring about 20-10 for Peru, so that should be a good one. But then you can't overlook that Makanaqua Twin Lakes game either, Shark. This is going to be a really fun one. Where do you see a favorite at out of this bunch?
I mean, it's tough to pick. You look at Peru, and they've had the best record in this sectional, but like you said, the Western with Kretz and then Mitchell Dean, a 6'6 forward, good athlete. And Mike Lewis is always going to have his guys ready to defend. That was a 13-point game in the regular season that went Peru's way. But, you know, I think that game's going to be closer. I think you look at Makanaqua, some balance there. And then Ken Adams at Twin Lakes, he's made some postseason runs in the past, getting to state about 5 years ago. So tough to pick here. I think the Tigers, though, of Peru will probably be my pick. Like you said, Matthew Ross, a really good 6'5 forward, can score it, rebound it, really versatile, taking guys off the bounce, getting it in the post, and then capable behind the arc as well.
Yeah, I think I could flip a coin here, Shark. I'm going to go the tough path finally, Shark. I'm not going to take the easy path anymore. I'm going to go with Makanaqua to get out of this one. Hayden Mabin averaging about 21 a game, and then Braden Betzner averaging about 18. really good balance. A couple other guys around 10 a game. So I'm going to take McConaughey to get out of this.
There we go. We go from a 7-team sectional McConaughey to a 5-team sectional here, sectional 21 at Wawa C. A really nice first round matchup with Tippecanoe Valley and West Noble. Friday night, the first semifinal, Wawa C and Lakeland. And then Northwood, one of the best 3A all year long, awaits the Tippy Valley West Noble winner here. You look at this, I think Northwood gets a nice draw with a bye, but they also have a really tough semifinal opponent, either Tippy Valley or West Noble. Wawa C and Lakeland, the two under 500 on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, obviously great draw for Wawa C and Lakeland, but I still don't give them much of a chance here, Shark. Really love Northwood. Cade Brenner and Ian Roush, kind of an inside-outside duo there. Both having great seasons for Aaron Wolf. So I think they're the favorite. Obviously, you've seen West Noble this year a lot and Austin Cripes. So do you think they give Northwood a game?
I think they can. I mean, Cripe, a junior 6'4 guard, averaging around 23, 24 a game. What I like about him is he's really active in passing. He's got really good length to him, and his size. He can really kind of bait teams into passes. Not a great perimeter shooter, but really dangerous in the mid-range. Kind of a slithery athlete getting his way to the basket. They've had some up and down stretches here, but you know they've put a scare into some really good teams here. But like you said, Northwood, Cade Brenner at the guard spot, kind of a big guard, you know, he's been inefficient at times this year. He's put up some monster numbers, but he's also, had some rough shooting outings. But I think Ian Rash gives Northwood somebody that a lot of teams sectional don't have. And that's a really versed inside, interior presence. If he's on his game, it's tough seeing anybody beating Panthers.
Yeah, I've got to take the Panthers. They've been at the top of the 3A rankings for me all season, Shark. I'm going to go with Northwood to bring this one home.
All right, let's head on down to Garrett, sectional 22, 7 teams here. Tuesday, Leo takes on Angola. Wednesday night, Woodland and Bishop Dwenger, then Concordia and Garrett in the second game Wednesday. Lures awaits the Leo Angola winner in the first Friday semifinal. Leo with a beneficial draw, but kind of limping into the postseason after making state.
Yeah, it looked like Leo is going to be a contender for this 3A all season. And then they kind of hit some speed bumps here, Shark, losing to Blackhawk Christian and Woodland to close out the regular season. Definitely have not been as sharp down the stretch as you had hoped. But so you have a guy like Cademan Bontrager inside, DJ Allen as well. Not many 3A teams can match up with those guys. Still a really talented Lions team. So it should be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, your Dwenger team has been playing well lately. And then Woodland with Joe Reedy also going to be a tough out here at Garrett.
Yeah, I think you look at the draw, obviously favors Leo, but they definitely have some question marks in their team. They don't have a playmaker at the guard spot like Blake Davison last year. Really not the best perimeter shooting team out there in 3A. It's a veteran group. But it's going to be tough to manufacture points, you know, without hitting shots from the arc. They really need one of the height shoes, either Brody or Trey, to get it going from deep. Potentially Xavier Middleton, who's been coming off the bench after starting a lot of the year last year for them. They do draw an easier path. Really, Woodland and Bishop Dwenger, I think that's going to be a really good game. Dwenger with the size that can go up against Leo. They start 2-6-7 kids in Bo Jackway and Preston Ross. Sam Campbell at the guard spot, if you know he can limit turnovers. And the kid who's really come on for the Saints the last month or so is Owen Shively, the 6'4". Kind of wing, stocky wing that has really shot it well the last 3 or 4 weeks. So if he can get going from behind the arc, that puts another dimension to Saints offense. Concordia, a younger squad, start 2 juniors, 2 sophomores, and a freshman. Obviously, they're headlined by the sophomore point guard of Johnny Washington. He's having a really good year for the Cadets. And then a Lures team that sits at 5-17, but they've knocked off Dwenger already this year. They've got some young talent and sophomores, Isaac Zay and Cadell Wallace, a really shifty point guard. And then Nick Thompson, the junior, who's got some Division I football offers, one of the better wing athletes in Northeast. So Going to be tough to pick here. I think Leo's got the best draw, but they're certainly not playing the best heading.
Yeah, I think I have to stick with Leo here, Shark. I do like how Dwenger matches up with him, but I don't know if Dwenger gets by Woodland in that Wednesday night game. So I'm going to go with Leo here. I think they start playing a little bit better here and make a run.
Trevor, I don't normally do this, but I'm gonna make a homer pick here and take the Dwenger Saints to come out of this sectional. I think they're playing really well down the stretch. Kind of the emergence of Owen Shively has really opened up their offense. They've got some nice wins here down the stretch. Lawrence Central, Blackhawk Christian took out a decent Noble team on the road. Played Leo just about a week and a half ago to a 4-point game. Really was right there with Leo throughout the entire 32 minutes. So I'm going to take the Dwenger Saints to come out of this section.
We should change your nickname from Shark to Homer there, Jeff Shanley. Unbelievable.
Well, let's move on then to sectional 23 at Norwell. Six teams here, Heritage and Norwell, the first Tuesday game. Belmont, Mississippi with a second Tuesday game. Eastern Greentown gets the Heritage Norwell winner, and Oak Hill gets the Belmont, Mississippi. Really nice draw for the host Knights here. A really good team led by their junior class.
Yeah, I really love Luke McBride for them. Got to see them play a couple times at Noblesville during the holidays. And they took Chesterton, you know, the top 4A team in the state, to the wire, had a chance against them. So definitely a contender in 3A, but it won't be the easiest sectional. Oak Hill's playing really well. They should be able to give them a game. And even Heritage with Luke Saylor, I mean, they're only 5-17, Shark, but shouldn't be a walk in the park for them.
Yeah, I really, you know, I got a chance to see Norwell against Jay County a couple weeks ago and really just dismantled a very good Patriot. You talked about Luke McBride, but his backcourt mates, Leighton Bailey and Jake Parker, their ability to hit shots from behind the arc. And then you have kind of an undersized four-man in Ian Graff, just about 6'1 or so, but really strong and physical and seems to always find creases around the basket to finish here. Oak Hill, the Golden Eagles, a really solid 17-5 here, but I'm going to go with Norwell on their home floor. Just too much from that class they have.
Yeah, I think Norwell's a class is sectional. Like you said, I do like Oak Hill. Len Beagle can really shoot it, score about 22 a game as a junior. But Norwell, I think they just have too much depth. Luke McBride's really good, so I'll take Norwell as well.
All right, let's roll down to sectional 24 at Newcastle here. A really good first-round game. Newcastle and Jay County starting us off down there in the field house. Then Yorktown and Delta, the second semifinal game, or second Tuesday game, rather. Hamilton Heights will get the Newcastle-Jay County winner, and Muncie Burris at Yorktown Delta. That Newcastle-Jay County game should be a great one to start us off here. I really liked what I saw, even though they got beat pretty handily from Norwell. Jay County with a couple of really nice players. Senior wing Ethan Geertsen, kind of 6'2", can take you off the bounce, hit shots from deep, and 6'6", Dusty Pierce tonight outside.
Yeah, and then on the other side, I like Newcastle. Gavin Welch had a really good junior year for them. They've been, you know, a borderline top 10 3A team all season. I think this one really decides that whole sectional. You know, Hamilton Heights at 10-11. Luke Carroll's had a good senior year, but I just don't see anybody else being able to knock off Newcastle or Jay County, whoever wins that first round matchup on Tuesday night, Shark.
Yeah, I think that top half of the bracket with Newcastle, Jay County, and Hamilton Heights is definitely going to provide us the winner here. You know, Jay County, a really solid defensive squad. You know, I think that Norwell game was an aberration. They're holding opponents to around 40 points a game. But Newcastle, like you said, with Gavin Welch, they're going to be tested here on their home floor. Going to be tough to pick a winner in this one, but I think I'm going to go Jay County here. I just really like Ethan Dirksen's game. Big guard that can take it off the bounce, physical, can hit shots. If he gets going here, the Patriots are a really good team.
All right, I'll take the other side of that first round matchup, Shark. I'll take the Trojans and Newcastle on their home court, 17-4 on the year. I'm going to take Newcastle to win it.
All right, let's head over to Case Arena in Frankfort for sectional 25. The first of these Southern Indiana 3A sectionals, Crawfordsville and Tri-West on Tuesday. Danville and Greencastle, first Wednesday game. Frankfurt and Monrovia, the second Wednesday game. And then North Montgomery awaits the Crawfordsville Tri-West.
Always interesting to have Frankfurt in the southern half of the state here, Shark.
Yeah, definitely a kind of spread out sectional here, taking place up at Danville, at Frankfurt. But I think the favorite for me here is Danville. Sitting at 17-5 on the year. They've been a quality squad the past 5 or 6 years or so. And with another solid team there for the Warriors.
Yeah, Ruggles is really tough for Danville. Always a tough team to beat, but Crawfordsville 17-5 on the year as well. Shark, no slouch here. Ian Hensley scoring about 13 a game for Crawfordsville. And then Tri-West has had some really good moments. I believe they almost beat Burbuff. Yeah, they only lost to Burbuff by 2 a couple weeks ago. Lost to Crawfordsville by 5 the night before that. So Tri-West playing some good basketball. But I'm with you. I think I got to pick Danville here, Shark. 17-5 on the year. I think Ruggles is the best player in the sectional this year. So I'll take Danville.
You know, I kind of like Crawfordsville's path here. You know, they get a really good Tri-West team, but North Montgomery just 2-20 awaits them in the semifinal. You know, if they can get past Tri-West, I think they're sitting pretty into Saturday. And they did beat Danville by 12 just a little over a week and a half ago. So I'm going to go with the Athenians here to come out victorious at Frank.
No revenge for Danville in that one, Shark. You're saying they're going to sweep it?
Yeah, I'm going to take Crawfordsville here again.
All right.
Let's go down to sectional 26 at Edgewood. 7 teams taking place here. Edgewood and South Vermillion, the Tuesday game. West Vigo and Northwood get a start on Wednesday night, followed by Owen Valley and Brown County. And then Brownstown Central, probably the odds-on favorite going into the sectional, draws the bye. They will get the Edgewood, South
Vermillion. Yeah, Brownstown Central, 20-3 on the season. Jack Benter, the sophomore, having a great year, can really fill it up. Has had some 30 and 40 point games this year. Unlimited range for the 6'4 sophomore. Carter Wascom, also a really good player. Smaller, slight frame, but can really shoot it, can get to the basket off the dribble. Those two are really tough to stop. I don't see anybody else having much of a chance to beat Brownstown Central, especially with Central getting the bye here, Shark.
Yeah, you look at everything just stacking up for Brownstown. You look at Benter, a 6'4 guard that has just unbelievable shooting percentages on the year. So I think Brownstown, in my mind, a cakewalk sectional.
Oh, going cakewalk, Shark.
Let's head over to sectional 27 at Lebanon. 6 teams here, Shortridge and Burbuff. Gets us going on Tuesday, followed by Crystal House and Tard. Lebanon on their home floor awaits the Shortridge Burbuff winner, and Guerin Catholic gets the Crystal House Chatard winner here.
Yeah, I really like Burbuff all year, but they've been stumbling a little bit here, Shark. My confidence in them is a little shaky going into the sectional. They did beat Roncalli to finish out the year, but lost to Newcastle, lost to Mount Vernon, lost to Park Tudor in that last month or so of the season. So they're going to need Billy Smith to really pick it up and carry the Braves deep here. Should be a fun one. Chatard also kind of in that same category, but don't have the top-end player like a Billy Smith. And then the two teams getting the bye are really tough. Lebanon 16-8, Guerin Catholic 13-10. Guerin Catholic might not have that star power, but Will Grissom's really tough for them. Senior guard has been around. And then Lebanon is having a great year overall. So should be fun to see how this plays out.
Yeah, definitely an interesting sectional here. I think that Friday night could be really good. And these teams kind of taking turns beating each other. You know, Guerin's beat Lebanon, Burbuff. Chatard has beat Guerin, Burbuff's Chatard. You know, I think it's kind of a toss-up here. I think, though, you have to go back to who has the best player in this sectional, and that's going to be Billy Smith at Burbuff. Tough test on Friday night against Lebanon, but I'm going to go with the Braves here to get it done.
Yeah, really can't argue against Burbuff here. even with, you know, not quite getting the wins you would expect them to if they're going to be a state contender. I don't know, the way they finished the season has me a little bit worried here, Shark. I think I'm going to go with Garen Kafka. I've liked them the couple times I've seen them. The bye helps them. I'm going to go with Garen here, Shark. A little bit of an upset since I've liked Burbuff so much all season.
All right, so let's move on over to sectional 20 weight at Speedway, home of the Spark Plug. Six teams here, Beech Grove and Heron on Tuesday, followed by Indian Creek and Indy Washington. Ritter will draw the Beech Grove Heron winner, and Speedway, the host, gets the Indian Creek Washington.
Yeah, Beech Grove, had a chance to see them earlier in the year. Anthony Ball had a great one in that, or a great game in that one against Southport, his old school. 15-6 on a year. Really like the Hornets. Pretty much a balanced team, even with Anthony Ball. Not a huge star power around him. So that'll be fun. But then Indy Washington, 16-8 on the year, also really strong team. I got to go with Beech Grove here, Shark. The inside presence of Anthony Ball, I think, gets it.
Yeah, you look at the two best teams in the sectional, Beech Grove and Washington, did play in the regular season, and Beech Grove with the 20-point win over there. I just think they're the class of the field. Like you mentioned, Ball, a 6'6 forward that can really – hurt people, get people in foul trouble on the inside, a springy athlete. So the Hornets are my pick here for sectional.
Sounds good.
Moving out east, sectional 29 at the Spartan Bowl at Connersville. Seven teams here, Rushville and Lawrenceburg on Tuesday night, followed by Greensburg and Connersville with the first game Wednesday, Franklin County and Batesville, the second game, and then South Dearborn will get the Rushville-Lawrenceburg win. Five teams here, Trevor, with 14 or more wins on the year, really top heavy section.
Yeah, great sectional. I just love the way Connersville's ended the season. Even their losses lately have been close ones to teams like Lawrence North and Mount Vernon. So tough to pick against them. Obviously, Greensburg 20-4. Colin Comer having a great senior year. Good athlete at about 6'3 or so at guard position. So he'll be a handful for Connersville, but man, tough to pick against the Spartans, especially at home, since they're hosting this sectional, Shark.
Yeah, I think that half of the bracket's going to be really tough here. Like Lawrenceburg on the other side of the bracket, a really, really tough team, 17 wins on the year. I really like Greensburg here. Colin Comer, we need to talk about Kai Dyer, the junior guard there. Really dynamic backcourt for the Pirates, Stacey Meyer here. Connersville is going to want to control the pace. Greensburg's going to want to pick it up a little bit. I just don't know if Connersville can keep pace scoring wise with Greensburg. I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup. Connersville won that game 43-41 in the regular season. I think you're going to see Greensburg really focus on getting that game, trying to get it into the 60s. I think if they can do that, they'll win. And that's going to be my pick here, Trevor, in this sectional is the Pirates.
Oh, a little bit of upset pick there, Shark. I'm sticking with Connersville. I love the way they're playing. They've had a really good year. I'm not picking against Kerry Brown in the postseason, Sharks. So I'm going with Connersville.
Always a strong pick there, going with Kerry Brown in the postseason. Let's move down to sectional 30 at Salem here. Seven teams again. North Harrison and Charlestown Tuesday night. The Wednesday matchup, Salem and Silver Creek, and then Madison and Scottsburg. Cordon Central will get the bye in North Harrison. Charles will face Gordon first semifinal Friday. Trevor, Silver Creek winning the last couple 3A state titles that we've had, but gone are Trey Coffin, Wren, and Cooper Jacoby. Brandon Northern back for the Dragons, but he's been looking for some help all year.
Yeah, he was overshadowed by those two, you know, for the first 3 years of his high school career. And then this year he's putting up huge numbers, I think around 27 points a game, but not getting much of attention because the Dragons are only 11-12. So been kind of a tough break for Brandon Northern, but a great year for the senior point guard. North Harrison, 16-3 on the year. I really like them. Tough squad. Logan McIntyre leading the way for them. I got to think that they're the class of this section, Shark. Pretty good balance behind McIntyre as well. So I'm taking North Harrison here.
I'm going to take North Harrison as well. They've kind of been tripped up in the postseason by Silver Creek the last few years. And I've had really good teams like with McIntyre, like you mentioned, LT Hatton, who's now at William & Mary, the 6'9" forward that graduated last year. They've had some really good teams that haven't gotten as far as they maybe deserve to in the postseason. I think this year, though, North Harrison breaks through and could be poised for a deep tournament run here.
Yeah, really tough team. So, and they, I know I already picked North Harrison, but Scottsburg having a good year. Hayden Cutter for them, a senior, having a good year. So don't overlook them, but I've got to pick North Harrison.
Let's move over to Sectional 31 at Princeton. Five teams here. Princeton and Pike Central will get us started on Tuesday. Washington and Sullivan, the first game on Friday, then Vincennes, Lincoln will get either the Princeton or Pike Central winner. And Sullivan, I think you look here, is definitely a class of the field, 21-2 on the year. Really, really solid year for Sullivan, led by Randy Kelly.
Yeah, I haven't played the toughest schedule. So the 21-2 might be inflated a bit, but really, I think there's no doubt they're a top 10 team, the Golden Arrows. So like you said, Randy Kelly, really tough senior point guard, does a little bit of everything for him, scores about 20 points a game, good playmaker for others, will rebound and defend. Just a tough, you know, do-it-all point guard for him. Then they have the UND football commit, Jackson Hills, inside, where they can just throw it to him and he overpowers guys inside. So tough 1-2 duo there. I think that's enough for them to get it done here, Shark. I've got to go with Sullivan.
Yeah, not the strongest this sectional has ever been. Princeton just 3-20 on the year. Washington at 12-10, a far cry from their heydays. So I'm going to go Sullivan as well. I think this should be pretty cut and dry here for the Golden.
Yeah, should be.
Let's go to our last 3A sectional, Sectional 32 at Boonville. Six teams here, Gibson Southern, Heritage Hills, Tuesday night to start. Bossy and Mount Vernon, the second Tuesday game. Memorial gets either Gibson Southern or Heritage Hills. And Boonville, the host, will take on Bossy or Mount Vernon. It's not rare that we start off our sectional previews with a fresh, but I think we got to do that here with the fantastic initial campaign that Trent Sisley's put together for Heritage.
Yeah, you could watch him and think he's a senior the way he's playing, Shark. Does a little bit of everything at 6'7", can handle the ball, play the passing lanes, finish above the rim, knock down outside shots. Definitely a freshman sensation for Heritage Hills. Should be fun to watch the next 3 or 4 years here to close out his high school career. But this sectional overall should be pretty good. Even that first game against Gibson Southern should be a solid matchup. Caden Hurless inside for him. For Gibson Southern, pretty tough, pretty good balance there. Evansville Bossy's got really good talent. So not an easy one to pick here, Shark. Who are you going with?
I think I'm going to go Heritage Hills in this one. I think Sisley, just like you said, having a great freshman campaign, I think the sky's the limit. I think the key for what you said is you wouldn't know if he's kind of poised beyond his years. It's tough to get him rattled. He's faced a lot of defensive attention all year long. I think he's used to that now, and they've kind of figured out how to play around him as well. So I'm going to take Heritage Hills coming out of this.
All right. I think I'll go a different way. I like Memorial getting the bye there. But then again, Boston's got a pretty good road. Mount Vernon Posey in that first game, only 10-13. And then Boonville at 9-13, waiting for the Bulldogs. I think I'm going to go with Shane Burkhardt and the Bulldogs here. I'm going Bossy, Shark.
Sounds good. That wraps up our 3A podcast for the evening.
Let's jump right into 2A, Shark. Let's keep the train moving.
Let's take that train all the way up to the shores of Lake Michigan, Sectional 33 at the big oil drum in Whiting. Six teams here, Andrean and Ileana Christian, then Lake Station and Bowman Academy on Tuesday. Hammond Knoll gets the Andrean Ileana Christian winner, and Whiting, the host Oilers, will get either Lake Station or Bowman Academy. And I think this bracket really sets up for a rematch of Ileana Christian and Lake Station, the regular.
Yeah, these seem like the top two teams by a decent margin here, Shark. Bowman Academy having an uncharacteristically poor season. Whiting winless in the regular season. and Drayen just 7-14. So it really seems like it's setting up to have that rematch, as you said, Shark. I'm going to go with Ileana Christian in this one. I just think they get this done.
Yeah, Lake Station suffered a 3-game losing streak here a little while ago. The last of those threes was to Ileana Christian by a 70-67 score. But Lake Station rebounded, knocked off a good Portage team by one here after that. To kind of right the ship there for the Eagles. And that's who I'm going to take here. I really like their road. Bowman Academy at 1-15, Whiting at 0-9. You have to think that Lake Station is going to just sit back, kind of be very basic, not give anything away, and have their squad fresh and ready for a matchup against Ileana Christian on Saturday. So I'm going to take
Lake. That's what they want you to think, Shark. Be careful.
Moving over to North Judson, sectional 34, seven teams here, Westville and Boone Grove on Tuesday night. North Judson and South Bend Career Academy, then South Central Union Mills and LaVille on Wednesday. Hebron gets the Westville Boone Grove winner. Really, that top half of the bracket, Westville, Boone Grove, and Hebron should be really competitive. And then you look at the bottom half, and the Blue Jays and North Judson look like they have a nice road to Saturday night.
Yeah, great season for North Judson, 18-5, bringing back the glory days, basically, Shark. They used to get deep in the single class tournaments, but really like Boone Grove. They played Chester and Tough. What was it? The second to last regular season game for Chesterton. Mm-hmm. Boone Grove was leading going into the fourth quarter against them. So, you know, they're going to be tough. Trey Steinhilber, over 1,000 points for his career for Boone Grove. Really tough. But North Judson, I think they're the cream of the crop here, Shark. What do you think?
Yeah, North Judson, really good. I had a chance to watch them against Caston a couple weeks back, a game they lost. A team that can really shoot from the perimeter, but I also think they can fall in love with that three-point shot. If they have some offensive balance to them, mix in some rim attacks with their dynamic three-point shooting. And then you got to look at the draw, too. I think that's really big here. They definitely have the easier path going through this one at home. So yeah, I'm going to take the Blue Jays here.
Okay, I think I've got to agree with you, Shark. Like you said, just a little bit easier. Great season for them. I'll take them as well.
All right, sectional 35 at Westview, always a really good sectional. A little bit down this year because of graduation, but we also feature two of the best teams in the entire state in 2A. Seven teams here leading us off. Cherubusco plays Central Noble on Tuesday night. Wednesday, Fairfield versus Bremen, and Eastside versus Westview. Prairie Heights awaits the Cherubusco Central Noble game. And everything kind of looks like it's going to be heading towards a Central Noble East Side game on Saturday night. Busco really down this year because of graduation. Prairie Heights decent at 13-8. Westview hit hard by graduation last year. Couple of quality teams in here, but just nobody, I think, on the level of Central Side.
Yeah, it looks like this is going to be the rubber match. Split bowl, the two games so far. Obviously, love Connor Asijan going to Wisconsin for Central Noble. Can light it up from anywhere on the court. When you have a player like that, it's hard to bet against them. Eastside might be onto something the way they defended them the last game, but I'll take Central Noble here, Shark.
Yeah, you look at Central Noble, obviously headlined by Asijan, you know, looking at being a top 15 career scorer in the state of Indiana. He's averaging about 27 a game. Nice supporting cast, though. You have Ryan Schroeder, kind of a do everything forward wing for them. Logan Guard inside, he can block shots. He's been just turning away everything inside for them this year. And then Jackson Andrews and Connor Lemon give them a nice duo in the backcourt. Lemon, a really good shooter. Andrews, a good defender and ball handler. And then East Side, you know, you have a couple tough guards, Gabe Trevino, Owen Dillard, a little bit of size, about 6'3", 6'4", across their front line, can do some things. A very veteran group led by a bunch. I was at their first regular season game, the NECC Tournament Championship. Noblesville won by 8, or Central Noble won by 18. And Asijan just went off in that game, 39 points, 10 rebounds, really took control, had a dynamic third quarter that turned a game that was tied late in the second into just a rout.
And then the rematch, Eastside slowed it down. Seijin only 5 points in that rematch, rolled his ankle in the second quarter, so he wasn't 100% for much of that matchup. But a really good Eastside team coached by Ed Bentley. He's always somebody who's going to have a really solid game plan going into this matchup again. And that's probably where I'm going to be Saturday night for that potential rematch. And you took Central Noble. I think I'm going to go to take Central Noble as well. The Cougars just going to have a game plan how to get a Seijin free. And he's not going to want to end his career without a sectional championship here in his senior year. So I'm going to go Central Noble as well.
Good pick, Shark. Good pick.
One of the only 8-team fields in sectional play is at sectional 36 at Bluffton. Tuesday night doubleheader, South Adams versus Whitco, then Manchester against Blackhawk Christian. Wednesday, Wabash and Adams Central, then Canterbury and Bluffton here. 8 teams here, but I think one team definitely above the rest, and that's the two-time defending 2A state champs, Blackhawk Christian.
Yeah, I think everybody thought Blackhawk Christian would take a step back this year, but they're as strong as ever. They obviously lost Mr. Basketball, or 2021 Mr. Basketball, Caleb First, now at Purdue, but Gage Sefton stepped up. Jake Boyer's been around forever. Really tough squad. Obviously well-tested. Still played a really tough regular season schedule, so they're ready to go. I don't see anybody giving Blackhawk Christian much trouble here, Shark, although Wabash and Adams Central both with 14 wins on the season.
Yeah, you look at Blackhawk Christian. I had a chance to see them against Leo last week and was completely dominating Leo before some late turnovers kind of made that game a little bit closer than it was. You look at Gage Sefton, the junior wing, about 6'3", 6'4", good athlete, really tough in the mid-range, can hit shots from behind the arc. He's having a phenomenal year for the Braves. Josh First inside, Caleb's little brother, has really grown in the past year or so into somebody they've really, you know, feature and throw the ball into a lot. And then also you have to look at this. These guys are playing for Coach Davidson, who's undergoing a really tough battle with cancer. You know, I think that's going to be something that those guys rally around and play for him. And I just think in the sectional, there's nobody really that can touch them with their depth of talent. Lewis Jones went over 1,000 points recently. So just too much for the Braves here. I'm going to take Blackhawk as well.
Good deal. Let's move over to Winamax, Shark.
Yeah, sectional 37, a really balanced field here. 16, Rochester and Lewis Cass Tuesday night in the first game, then Delphi and Winamac in the second game Tuesday. North Newton gets the Rochester Lewis Cass winner, and Rensselaer Central gets the Delphi Winamac.
Yeah, no team with a winning record entering sectional play here, Shark. Obviously, a couple teams right around that could go into the plus territory with a good sectional here, but really don't know much about this lineup here, Shark. Who are you going to pick out of it?
You look at really Lewis Cass at 500, everybody else under 500, but a couple teams close. Rensselaer Central and North Newton both with 10 wins on the year, Rochester with 9 and Winamac with 8. Looking at the games kind of among the sectional here, Lewis Cass hasn't played any sectional opponents. Rensselaer Central with 3 big wins over sectional opponents, 21 over North Newton, 17 over Winamac, shows that they're a quality tier. Cass, I think you have to look as a serious threat, might have a slightly tougher road than Rensselaer Central. And that's why I'm going to take the Bombers here. I just think they have a slightly easier path. So that's who I'm going to pick to come out of this.
Oh man, this is your hometown bias against Shark. You spent your time in Rensselaer. Now you're picking them.
Yeah. Chad Pulver's squad here, a former St. Joe women's assistant. So no Chad, he's got his squad ready to roll. Always going to be a tough physical team there in Rensselaer. So that's who I'm going with, Trevor.
All right. I'm going to go with Lewis Cass, Tyson Good, the junior guard for them. Tough player. I think he's probably the best player in the sectional. So I'm going to go with Cass to get this one done, Shark.
Let's head down to sectional 38 at Western Boone here. 6 teams here. The host Stars take on Clinton Prairie on Tuesday night. Then a couple of Wabash River Conference rivals, Fountain Central and Seeger, in the second game Tuesday. Rossville awaits Western Boone or Clinton Prairie, while Carroll awaits Fountain Central or Seeger. Two really good teams in this one. The Gophers of Clinton Prairie, led by Chad Peckinpah as their head coach, he's put together a fine program over there. And then Carol Flora, 20-1 on the year. Fantastic season for the Cougars. Really, really quality teams here that look beat up here on Saturday.
Yeah, this looks like a sure bet to meet up on the championship game, Carroll and Clinton Prairie. Tough one. I had both of them kind of on the outside looking in of the top 10 2A teams in the state for most of the year. I'm going to side with Clinton Prairie here, Shark. Just a gut feel, throwing a dart at the wall, I'm going Clinton Prairie.
All right, those two played in the middle of January. Carroll won that game by 2 points, so a really close game. I'm going to pick Carroll to win as well. I think they get the bye. That helps them a little bit. So I'm going to take the Cougars to come out of this section, Trevor.
Just for the record, I did pick Clinton Prairie, their Sharks, not as well.
Sectional 39 at Tipton here. Madison Grant versus Blackford. Tipton versus Taylor on Tuesday night. Eastbrook gets Madison Grant or Blackford, while the Blackhawks of Sheridan will get Tipton or Taylor in the second game Friday night. Tipton on their home floor, always a threat in March.
Yeah, you never want to go into the Inferno and play Tipton Shark. Slightly different feel to this one with Luke Brown at Ball State now instead of Blackford. Still should be a competitive sectional. Tipton, I think, is leading the way here. I think they've got to be the favorite. Put Madison Grant in there, Taylor, but I don't think anybody else has much of a chance. Tipton, sitting at 14-6 on the year. They do play a tough Taylor team to start off with, but really like kind of the 1-2 punch of Nate Powell and Nolan Swan for Tipton Shark, both at 19, 17 points per game. Also have a good freshman scoring just under 9, Grady Carpenter, to watch for in the future, but playing a pretty good role for him as a freshman Shark.
Yeah, I think you talk about Tipton, the tradition there. They're going to have talent as always. And I think they're, you know, if they can get by Taylor, they have a pretty easy game against Sheridan in the semifinal. And then that other side of the bracket, I think, is kind of a toss-up. It's, you don't really know who they're going to face in the championship. Could be any one of those, but I think regardless, Tipton going to come out on top here on Saturday night on their floor.
All right. I'm going with them as well, Shark. I think there's definitely a case to be made for Madison Grant, but on their home court, I think Tipton's got a little bit more talent. Jace Howell for Madison Grant might make it close, but I'm going with Tipton to win the Shark.
All right. Let's head down to sectional 40 at Alexandria. 7 teams here. The host, Alexandria, takes on LaPel on Tuesday night. Wednesday, Frankton against Wapahani and Monroe Central against Elwood. Winchester awaits the Alexandria-LaPel win Friday night here. Teams here headlined by the undefeated Golden Bears.
Yeah, Monroe Central, really tough. Got to see them play Wapahani. Close game, but Monroe Central pulled it out. Jackson Olam, tough point guard. But I really like the inside guys for Monroe Central as well. They had some strength and really just clean up the boards, play hard. Those type of guys can win you games, close games. But also like the duo of Wapahani, Isaac Andrews, a sophomore, and Aiden Franks, a junior. Great backcourt, especially at the 2A level, where they both can hit shots from the outside and get to the basket, have pretty good size and athleticism. So going to be a tough one. Frankton did beat Wapahani in the regular season, but Wapahani should be the favorite in that Wednesday game. So it should be interesting to see if we get that Wapahani-Monroe Central rematch, Shark.
Yeah, that'll be a great game. And then I think Winchester and LaPel potentially in the first semifinal on Friday. Winchester, a very balanced squad. They've lost Peyton Sparks to graduation from last year. They're 6'9", post player, but they've got a lot of other pieces back this year. Wapahani and Frankton, like you talked about, Monroe Central undefeated on the year. So this is a really quality 2A sectional. I think this is where I'm leaning towards heading on Friday night for a couple of really good games here. But I really think Monroe Central, just defensively, what they can do to teams. You know, I watched a little bit of their game. They came up to play Fort Wayne Snyder, one of the most explosive offensive teams, at least in Northeast Indiana, and held them to 50 points. That's tough with the athleticism and scoring ability that Snyder has. So nobody's knocked them off yet, Trevor. So I'm going to go with Monroe Central to come out of this as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Wapahani played him so close and didn't get much from Aiden Franks. If Aiden Franks just has a normal game, lets the game come to him, knocks down a couple shots, I mean, that could really swing it into Wapahani's advantage. But like you said, Monroe Central 21-0 on the season for a reason. They played big competition and won. So I'm going with Monroe Central as well, Shark.
All right. That's it for 2A North. Heading to 2A South, Sectional 41 at Hagerstown, another eight-team affair. Tuesday night, Shenandoah versus Northeastern and Knightstown versus Hagerstown. Wednesday night, Union County versus Eastern Hancock and Cambridge City Lincoln against Centerville here. Two really good teams on opposite sides of the bracket in Northeastern and Eastern Hancock that kind of go about things a little different.
Yeah, definitely. It's always interesting when a team like Shenandoah, we've been talking about for basically 4 years, kind of goes to that second tier. We start talking about other teams, but that's what happens. Northeastern and Eastern Hancock are so good. Kind of forget about Shenandoah, even though they had a pretty solid year. Should be interesting if Northeastern and Eastern Hancock meet up here, Shark. Raiden Faust for Northeastern, tough inside-outside threat, about 6'6". And then the Royals having a great year, 17-5 as well. So should be a fun sectional at Hagerstown.
Yeah, and you talked about Raiden Faust as the inside presence for Northeastern. Eastern Hancock does it through their guards. Landon O'Neill, the 6'1 shooting guard, really just a lights out 3-point shooter. He's been over like 45% for most of his high school career from beyond the arc. And then you have the Spalding twins as juniors, you know, James and Silas, really quick guards. Both of them can hit outside shots, but definite playmakers there for Aaron Spalding's squad. So think they might potentially have a slightly easier path. I think it's going to come down to those two, and I'm going to go with the Royals here, Eastern Hancock, to come away victorious on Saturday.
Oh man, I thought I was going to go out on a limb and get the Royals myself here, Shark. I agree. I think Eastern Hancock has the easier path. I'm always afraid of a Dave McCullough team in Shenandoah, so that's kind of why I'm steering away from East and Northeastern. I'll take Eastern Hancock as well, Shark.
All right, let's move over to Sectional 42 at Park Tudor here in Indianapolis. Park Tudor versus Heritage Christian, a really dynamite first matchup here on Tuesday. Cecina and Covenant Christian are right around 500, both of those squads set on Tuesday. Irvington Prep gets either Park Tudor or Heritage Christian, then University awaits either Covenant.
Yeah, not the greatest records, but wow, this 2A sectional is loaded, Shark. You don't see this type of talent at 2A very often. Park Tudor, obviously, Jermaine Coleman, talented junior for them. They're 14-6 playing. Another junior, Miles Colvin, committed to Purdue. Heritage Christian, just 10-11 on the year. But when you have a guy like Miles Colvin, you can always make a deep run. Always really tough to stop him. He's such a good scorer. Can hit outside shots from, you know, 25, 27 feet. Thrives in transition above the rim. So I saw this regular season matchup between Park Tudor and Heritage Christian. Unfortunately, Colvin picked up his fifth foul in the third quarter, kind of allowed Park Tudor to win that one. So should be fun to see that rematch.
Yeah, and then you look on the other side of the bracket. University gets the bye, and kind of just your standard University team. Not a lot of stars, but always seem to get it done there in Carmel. Really balanced team as usual. And the Trailblazers, you know, 13-9, they've played a little bit of a tougher schedule here. And they don't have to face Park Tudor or Heritage Christian until the championship game. So that's kind of a interesting three teams to pick from. They're all doing it ways.
I would throw Covenant Christian in there too, Shark. I think they have a chance to win this one. They've had some bumps in the road here and there, but I think they're a pretty solid 2A team as well.
Okay, so we'll throw them in there. And, you know, it's, man, I mean, you look at a talent like Miles Colvin at Heritage Christian, but they've struggled at times this year getting consistent second scoring. Park Tudor's been good, but you know they can struggle at times as well. And University, do they just have the raw firepower to go out and win a sectional and outscore somebody if they need so? Trevor, who are you going to go with here? I think there's a lot of really good options.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm kind of leaning towards University just because of the draw. Like you said, a good balanced team, but doing it a little bit differently. They don't have that three-point shooter. Everybody's solid from three-point range for them this year, but they don't have that guy that's just lights out that they've had for, it seems like, the past 6 or so years. But, you know, I'm going to go with the balanced team here and go with University to win.
Oh, fair. I think this is the week that Part Tudor gets it done, so I'm going to go ahead and take them to win on their floor here.
We caught that last part, Shark, but I think you froze up for a second.
I'm going to go ahead and take Part Tudor. We've been, you know, talking about if they were going to kind of put everything together this year. I think they do that on their home floor this week and cut down the nets.
And the new facility, too. They just had that gym remodeled and looking pretty nice over there.
Let's move out to sectional 43 at South Putt. Cloverdale and Park Heritage, last year's 2A runner-up on Tuesday. Wednesday night, Riverton Park and Southmont Cascade against North Putt. And then South Putt takes on the Cloverdale Park Heritage first Friday semifinal. Thought brought a lot back from last year's state runner-up team in 2A. They've kind of struggled a little bit. Southmont had a good year, and North Putnam again having a really good year.
Yeah, I expect a little bit more from Park Heritage. Like you said, they brought a lot back from that 2A championship appearance, but had some difficult times this year. I really like Southmont. Great resume. Avery Saunders averaging about 19 a game. Logan, is it Oopie? Great last name either way. But I like them. Southmont's resume has been solid all year. I think I'm going to go with Southmont here. Cloverdale and Park Heritage should be a good one in that Tuesday game. Cloverdale led by Kyle Thomas, a four-year guy that's put up a ton of points for Cloverdale over the years. But I'm going to go with Southmont. I like their season resume, Shark. They've recorded.
Yeah, Trevor, I mean, tough here with North Putt and Southmont Park Heritage. That Southmont-North Putt game should be a really good one if that comes to fruition here on Friday night. Park Heritage, you would think, has the best chance on that top half of the bracket, but Kyle Thomas at Cloverdale, a really dynamic wing for them. I'm going to go North Putnam to come out of this. I think, you know, they get the best of Southmont there on Friday night and take out Park Heritage on Saturday. So I'm going to go with North Putt here.
So let's move over to South Ripley, our sectional 44.
Yep, five teams here. Milan and North Decatur on Tuesday night, South Decatur and South Ripley, the first semifinal on Friday. Triton Central gets the Milan North Decatur winner here. Four teams at or just above 500 in this five-team field. Really balanced sectional. Going to be hard to.
Yeah, and the player that stands out the most, Shark, Hunter Johnson of South Decatur. Nearly 33 points per game, 9.7 rebounds. Just a fantastic senior year, and he put up huge numbers last year as well. So it's not a huge surprise that he's doing this. 35% from three on 200 three-point attempts, Shark. That's Shanley territory right there.
That's shoot first, ask questions later.
But just a fantastic senior year for him and pretty balanced sectional here, Shark. And you know, just a five teamer. Who do you think's got a good path here?
I mean, you look at North Decatur getting Milan, but also having to play three games instead of just two for the other three teams that are fighting it out for this championship. So I have to say that while their opponent is nice, they don't get a bye here for North Decatur. Triton Central can rest up and wait for, you know, probably North Decatur in that second Friday semifinal. Just going to be hard to pick a winner here. I think I want to take, you know, I'll take North Decatur here. I just think that they've had some success against sectional foes this year. Maybe that Tuesday game gets them, gets the blood flowing, and I'll take them to come away on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I think I'm going to pick South Ripley here, Shark. They were able to take down North Decatur by 24 in December. Hopefully things stay the same there and I can pick up a win here. So I'm going to take South Ripley.
All right, let's move down to the Ohio River here, sectional 45 at Southwestern. Switzerland County against Austin. Southwestern gets Henryville on Tuesday. Providence gets the Swiss County Austin winner. Clarksville gets the Southwestern Henryville winner. Southwestern, Providence, both with 15 wins on the year.
everybody else under 500. What do you think about this bracket, Trevor?
Yeah, definitely coming down to Providence and Southwestern here. Doesn't seem like anybody else has much of a chance. Southwestern at home gets Henryville 8-14 on Tuesday night. Providence gets a bye to the semifinal, waiting the winner. Switzerland County 10-13 on the year, and Austin 6-14 play on that Tuesday game to open up the sectional. Don't see how it does not come down to Providence and Southwestern Sharks.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the bye for Providence and Southwestern playing on their home floor, a couple of advantages for each of those squads. Trevor, I'm going to go with Providence. I think the bye helps them out a little bit. So I'll take Providence and come out of this
one. All right, then I'll go on the other side of it. I'll take the tougher path, Shark. I'll go with Southwestern to get this sectional. You got the senior Zach Cole scoring about 15 and a half a game for Southwestern. Parker Davis about 12 points, 7 rebounds. So I'll take Southwestern to get it done, Shark.
All right, let's stay along the Ohio River. Just head west to Tell City in sectional 46. Five teams here. Paoli and Crawford County on Tuesday. Eastern and Perry Central in the first Friday game. The Marksmen await Paoli or Crawford County in the second semifinal at Tell City here. And two teams really struggling this year, Crawford County and Tell City. Eastern 17-5 has the best record on
Eastern. Pekin's got the big fella inside, Jacob Cherry, that can really change the game. You don't see a guy like that two-way very, very often, Shark. So could be a game changer there. 17-5 on the year, so they're pretty tough. A lot of history in these teams. Paoli 13-9 on the season. They have a pretty easy path here. I think it comes down to those two teams. I'll take Eastern to get it done, Shark.
All right, I'll take a team with the easier path here. I'm going to go Paoli. There are two teams they'd have to go through to get to the title game, combined 5-40 on the year. Paths don't get much more simple than that, so I'll take the Rams here and coming out of Tell City.
There you go.
Let's head over to sectional 47 at North Knox here. Another 5-2 sectional. North Knox and Eastern Green on Tuesday. Mitchell and South Knox, first semifinal. Linton Stockton gets the North Knox Eastern Green winner. The Miners here, odds on favorites, been one of the best teams in two-way all year, led by that fantastic junior guard, Joey Hart.
Yeah, Joey Hart's been fantastic. Very good shooter, good athlete, great size from a guard position. He definitely leads the way, but that Miners team is it's always tough to beat. I mean, Logan Webb is also really good. It's just so tough to beat the Miners. They lost by 2 in overtime to Evansville North in the final game of the regular season. Lost by 3 to Terre Haute North, and then by 2 earlier in the year to Terre Haute North. So those are the three, or where's the other loss? You got 4. Oh, North Davis. I forgot where they held the ball and became infamous on Twitter for that one. But I think Linton Stockton, definitely the class of this sectional behind the junior Joey Hart, Shark. So I'll take the Miners to get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Miners as well. Linton Stockton has shown they can get it done in the postseason in years past. So I'm going to go with the Miners as well. I think this is a nice start to the postseason run for them. And our last 2A sectional 48 at Southridge, six teams here, Southridge and North Posey, Forest Park and Tecumseh on Tuesday night. South Spencer gets the Southridge North Posey winner, and Forest Park and Tecumseh winner will play Evansville Modern Day.
Yeah, I really like South Spencer here, 18-3 on the season. They lost to Southridge by 2 about 10 days ago, Shark, but I think they're the best team in the sectional. I think I'll take South Spencer to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go South Spencer here as well. They've put together a fantastic year down there. Revenge factor in play for Southridge. Southridge would have to get by a good North Posey team, though, who's sitting at 14-6 on the year. So that, I think, is definitely the tougher half of the bracket up top. But I'm going to have South Spencer coming out of that side of the bracket and also winning on Saturday night.
Sounds good, Shark. Let's move up to 1A after we've completed 2A there, Shark. Let's start up at Couts in the 1A bracket.
Yeah, last year's 1A state runner-up, Couts, hosting this 7-team sectional. They will face Morgan Township in the Tuesday night game. Wednesday night, Hammond Science and Tech versus Gary 21st Century. Then Washington Township and Covenant Christian. Marquette Catholic gets the Couts Morgan Township winner. The draw looks like it's setting up pretty nicely for Gary 21st Century, and they've also got the best player in this sectional in junior point guard Ashton Williams.
Yeah, Williamson, dynamic athlete, might be the best passer in the state. Also about 6'3 or so, maybe 6'4. So he's got great size from a point guard. Really tough to contain. Obviously, the Cougars want to get out and run. I think they're really the class of 1A North, especially this sectional. Obviously, Morgan Township and Couch will have something to say about that. But I got to go with Gary 21st Century. Marquette Catholic also getting the bye there, Shark. A good team, 12-10 on the season. But I don't know if they have the guards to keep up with Ashton Williamson, DJ Moss, Quentin Floyd, all those guys. They're going to be pushing the pace on them. Marquette's more of an inside,
team. Yeah, I think Gary 21st Century, just a little too much. It's definitely not a one-man show for Williamson. He's one of the state leaders in assists for a reason. He's got a very good supporting cast around him. And I just don't see anybody who can keep up with Gary 21st the whole 32 minutes. So I'm going to go with as well.
Yeah, I got to get 21st Shark. I think they're one of the main contenders for a 1A season.
Let's head over to sectional 50 at Triton here. 7 teams, West Central and Argos on Tuesday night. Wednesday, Trinity, Greenlawn, and Triton, then Oregon, Davis, and Culver. Lacrosse gets the West Central Argos winner. 3 teams all with 15 wins here, Argos, Triton, and Trinity, Greenlawn. Lacrosse with the bye sitting at 12 wins on the season. So a lot of options here at Triton.
Yeah, Triton's been on that borderline for the top 10 from the Indiana Basketball Source 1A rankings all season. So they're a solid team. Lacrosse ended the year on a high note. They beat Couts at home 59-56, so they can't be overlooked. But I'm going to go with Triton. I think their overall resume is pretty tough here, Shark. I'm going to go with Triton to win.
Yeah, I'm going to take Lacrosse getting the bye can be helpful. But then again, you look at Argos and their ability is who Lacrosse would get in the second game. I'm going to go with the Dragons of Argos here.
Think Shark really always loves to pick Argos. You can write that in stone.
I want to pick them to come through. They have a easy game in the first round. Triton's got a tough one against Trinity Greenlawn, so I'm going to take Argos coming out of this one.
Good.
Sectional 51 at Fremont, 5 teams here. Winless Hamilton takes on the host Fremont Eagles on Tuesday night. Elkhart Christian against Lakewood Park Christian. The first Friday semifinal, Bethany Christian gets Hamilton or Fremont, second semifinal. Like this Bethany Christian team, a team that I think is a little bit better than their 11-12 record, but the host Eagles at 14-8 have definitely given some of the better teams in the NECC a run for their money this year.
Yeah, I think Fremont's the class of sectional here. Sharks start off with 0-21 Hamilton and then play that Bethany Christian team that you like on Friday night. So should be a good one, but I got to take Fremont over the Bethany Shark.
Yeah, I'm going to take Fremont as well here. Elkhart Christian with a nice road in, get a bye and then get 4-18 Lakewood Park Christian. But in the end, I don't think that's enough. I'm going to take Fremont as well.
Yeah.
Sectional 52 at Tri-County. The host Cavaliers of Tri-County get North White on Tuesday night. Frontier will take on Pioneer in the other Tuesday game. Caston, winners of the Hoosier North Conference, get North White or Tri-County, and South Newton awaits the Frontier Pioneer winner. Could be a potential sectional championship game on Friday night, so to speak, if this North White casting game comes to fruition.
Yeah, that'd be a great one. Speaking of great, how about the name Bentley Bushman, Shark? That ranks up there with the best names I've ever heard. He leads North White with 16.7 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3.7 steals per contest. Unbelievable. So he's got the game to match his name there, Shark. But like you said, it probably comes down to North White and Caston in this one. I'm gonna go with North White. I can't turn my back on the Bush.
Yeah, I watched this Caston team beat a really good North Judson team a few weeks back. They've got five seniors in their starting lineup, led by point guard Joey Spinn, a really good three-point shooter, good pull-up game in the mid-range, just a really mentally tough kid. You know, they got down early in that game pretty big, and he led them back. Really was a catalyst for that win. Cade Zeeker, a really good shooter from behind the arc. Five senior starters, so I'm going to go with Caston here. Drawing the bye helps them a little bit here. I'm going to go with Caston, the Comets, to come out of this section. Moving on to sectional 53 at Southern Wells, Northfield and Southwood County rivals on the first Tuesday game. Smith Academy and then Lakeland Christian in the second Tuesday game. North Miami will draw the winner of Northfield and Southwood. Southern Wells, the hosts, get either Smith Academy or Lakeland Christian here. Not the best sectional in terms of record wise, but some interesting games here, potentially a Southwood North Miami game in the Friday semifinal.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Lakeland Christian 13 and 10 on the year. They could play spoiler here, but I'm going to go with Southwood Shark. They've won some sectionals here in recent history. I'll take them again to win it.
I'm going to take Southwood as well. They had a state championship appearance a few years back. I'm going to take Southwood as well to come out of this. Lakeland Christian, maybe a little bit easier path on the bottom half of the bracket, but I think Southwood just enough to get through on Saturday night.
That's good.
Going over to sectional 54 at Attica, six teams taking place there. Faith Christian against the winless host, the Red Ramblers of Attica. Then Clinton Central and Lafayette Central Catholic on Tuesday night. North Vermilion gets the Faith Christian Attica winner, and Clinton Central Central Catholic winner will play Covington here. We always seem to see Central Catholic and Covington matched up in this sectional, and that could happen on Friday night, Trevor.
Yeah, always tough for Covington to get over the hump against Central Catholic, and I think that might play out once again, Shark. The Knights are pretty tough, definitely one of the top 10 teams in 1A, I would say. You never can overlook the Knights, especially in sectional play. And they've got another Barrett this year, Clark Barrett, the senior, 15 and 10 on the season, leading the way for them. But, you know, they always have a balanced team, and that's the case. I'll take LCC to get it done once again, Shark.
Yeah, Covington, senior point guard Alan Carfault here, joined by fellow senior Savion Waddell on double figures for the Trojan. Junior Duncan Keller also gives them about 13 a game, so. The Trojans not one to be messed with, but I think Clark Barrett, like you said, the veteran experience for the Knights, going to be tough for me to pick that one. I think I'm going to go Central Catholic, though. Play a little bit tougher schedule. They've been a little bit tested a little bit more this year, so I'm going
to. I thought you were going to pick an upset pick there, Shark.
Not yet. We're to sectional 55 at West Dell. Liberty Christian and Tri-Central, first game on Tuesday. Daleville and Anderson Prep Academy, the second. West Dell gets the Liberty Christian Tri-Central winner, and Cowan gets the Daleville Anderson Prep winner. You really like this draw for Daleville, with Anderson Prep and Cowan really struggling this year. Top half of the bracket, three teams over 500.
Yeah, and it's really surprising Liberty Christian had such a good year. They lost Christian Nunn to transfer. He moved down to Indianapolis. He was a big-time scorer for them for 3 years. They lose him, but then they still go 14-9. Pretty impressive. Adonis House steps up for him, scores about 15 a game. Zach Jeffers about 12 a game. So solid season for Liberty Christian when I really wasn't expecting it once they lost none. Like you said, Daleville gets a pretty good draw here, getting Anderson Prep 1-20 on the year in the first round, and then Cohen waits for him 4-15 on Friday. So great draw for Daleville. Tri-Central also 13-8. Could play a factor in this one, Shark. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like you talked about Liberty Christian losing Christian Nunn and still having a solid year this year. They're 14-9. I just really like Daleville's draw. I think they have a pretty easy road to the championship game. You know, Liberty Christian's going to have a tough game in that first round against Tri-Central, and then West Dell on a bye waiting for them. So I'm going to take Daleville
to win the sectional. I think the draw just helps them a little too much for me to pick somebody else.
Yeah, great balance for Daleville as well. Trevion Johnson scoring about 17 a game, and then three others over 10 points a game as well. So you can't just take away one guy from Daleville, Shark. Being tough. I do like Liberty Christian, but like I said, Daleville's draw is so much easier. I think I'll go with Liberty Christian. Reward them for their season without Christian Nunn, Shark.
All right, let's head over to Sectional 56 at Blue River Valley. The host Vikings take on Union City in the first Tuesday game. Randolph Southern and Seton Catholic the second Tuesday game. Union Modoc awaits the Blue River Union City winner, and Tri will face either Randolph Southern or Seton Catholic second Friday.
Yeah, not a bad sectional here, Shark. Seton Catholic got 15-8 on the year, kind of leads away, but I think Blue River is the team to beat. 12-10 on the year. They get Union City in the first round at 6-16. They're playing on their home court. If they get by Union City, they play Union Modoc 2-16 on the season. So I'm liking how things shape up for Blue River here, Shark. I'm going to go Blue River.
Yeah, you definitely look at the draw, and it couldn't have come out really any better for Blue River. Maybe you ask if they get a bye and face one of the Unions, but otherwise you have to be pretty happy with that draw if you're Blue River Valley. Seton Catholic, a little bit of a tougher draw. Tri sitting there with a bye has to be feeling good about their chances. I'll go Tri here. I think the bye helps them, so I'll take Tri to come out of this.
Sure, go with Tri.
We head down to the Southern Indiana 1A sectionals, sectional 57 at White River Valley. Seven teams here. Bloomfield and Shackamack are really good. Opening night game on Tuesday. White River Valley plays Clay City. Bloomington Lighthouse plays North Central on Wednesday. Eminence 0-19. The Eels get the bye. They will face either Bloomfield or Shackamack. And this first opening game here, Bloomfield and Shackamack, should be a good one, Trevor.
Yeah, Bloomfield didn't finish the season too well. You know, 2-point loss to Sullivan. That's respectable. 10-point loss at Bloomington South. You know, that's never bad. And then a 14-point loss at Bar Reeve. Just those losses kind of stacking up. Does that affect your psyche going into this one? I think most of the season, I would have thought Bloomfield was a heavy favorite here, Shark. But with the way they've kind of gotten into the playoffs here, I'm not too sure I'm sticking with that right now.
Yeah, but you look at the teams you said, Bloomfield, Sullivan. Bloomfield losing to Sullivan, Bloomington South, and Bar Reeve. No shame. A lot of teams would lose to those playing those three teams in a gauntlet here towards the end of the season. So I still think you can consider the Cardinals to be one of your favorites here for this sectional, but certainly not getting any favors in that first round game by drawing a really good Shackamack squad.
Yeah, and I think you got to give North Central a chance here, even though they're playing a 15-8 Bloomington Lighthouse team. I think North Central could cause some problems, but I think Bloomfield does get by Shackamack, and then you're playing an 0-19 Eminence team. So I'll stick with Bloomington or Bloomfield, Shark. You talk me into it. I'll stick with them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with them too. They test themselves against really good teams here down the stretch. So I'm going to go ahead and take them as well. Sectional 58 at Bethesda Christian, another seven-team affair. Traders Point Christian gets Indiana Def on Tuesday night. Indy Met will take on Riverside Wednesday, International against Indiana Math and Science, and then Bethesda Christian will get the Traders Point Indiana Def winner in the first Friday semifinal.
Yeah, I like this Indy Met team. Only 10-12 on the year, but Amari Ferguson is one of the best athletes in state, and guard position for them. David Merriweather inside. They've got a lot of pieces here, only 10-12 on the year, but they played tough team, Shark. So they should be ready to vie for this sectional title. What do you think?
Yeah, I think anytime at the 1A level, you have somebody with the size of David Merriweather, that's going to cause problems for people. Bethesda Christian, though, with a good draw, getting a bye. I think they have a really good shot to make some noise here in this sectional. I think it comes down to those two, though, Bethesda Christian and Indy Met. But like you said, Met willing to challenge themselves. I'm going to take them to come away on Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm with you. I saw Met a lot early in the year, liked how they were playing. I think they've got the talent and athleticism to make some noise here. So I'm going to go with Met to win this as well, Shark.
Let's head down to the south side of Indianapolis for the Indianapolis Lutheran sectional, number 59 on the docket. Providence Cristo Rey takes on Greenwood Christian on the first game Tuesday. Central Christian and Indy Lutheran the second game on Tuesday. Victory College Prep gets the Cristo Rey Greenwood Christian winner. And Tinley, last year's semi-state representative, takes on the winner of Central Christian and Indy Lutheran. That Central Christian, Indy Lutheran, Tinley half of the bracket is a doozy.
Yeah, and it's a pretty good setup for Christian or Greenwood Christian. 15-9 on the year, get 0-21 Providence Cristo Rey to start. Then if they win that, they get Victory College Prep. So really good one there. Max Boer, I think, has averaged about 16 a game as a sophomore for Greenwood Christian. So they got a chance, but even though it's a little bit of a tougher road, I'm going to go with Tinley Shark. Like we've mentioned with Met, I mean, Tinley's just the enhanced version of that. I mean, they've got size and athleticism at pretty much every position. They played a 4A type of schedule all season and still went 16-7. So I've got the Tinley Tigers making it out of this section.
Yeah, I think the bye helps them too. You look at Greenwood Christian's draw, can't get any better for them, but don't count out Indy Lutheran, the Saints here. I think can play spoiler, but I think Tinley just maybe a little bit too much with Aaron Humphrey and Javon Pinkston, the size, the athleticism.
Jaden Pinkston.
Sorry about that. I'm going to take the Tiger well.
That's good.
Heading over to Sectional 60 at Southwestern, seven teams here, Rising Sun and Jack Sundell on Tuesday night. Hauser and Morristown, then Southwestern and Oldenburg Academy on Wednesday. Waldron draws the bye, Rising Sun and Jack Sundell. Winner to face Waldron and on Friday night here. Seven teams here. Jack Sundell, 17-5 on the year. The favorite, Waldron with the bye, though, at 12-10.
Yeah, I think Jack Sundell's got the best season-long resume, led by we got two guys scoring about 18, 20 points a game. Wyatt Day at 20 points a game for him, and then Caleb Simon, 18 a game for Jack Sundell. That duo is going to be really tough to beat. I had a great season. I think Jack Sundell is my pick because of that duo right there, Shark.
Yeah, I'll take Jack Sundell as well. Waldron, going to be waiting for them on Friday in the semifinals. I don't think there's really a challenger from the other half of the bracket, though. So if Jack Sundell can get by Waldron, I think Saturday, maybe a little bit of a breath of fresh air for them. So I'll take Jack Sundell as well.
All right, good deal.
Sectional 61 at Borden, six teams here, Rock Creek Academy in New Washington, then Christian Academy in Lanesville on Tuesday. Borden drawing the Rock Creek New Washington winner, and South Central out of Elizabeth drawing the Christian Academy Lanesville winner.
Yeah, another toss-up here, Shark. I think you can go a number of ways. Borden, Rock Creek, Christian Academy. I don't think you'd be wrong with any of those three. I kind of like Borden's getting a bye. I'll go with Borden here. 14-7 on the year, Shark. I'll take Borden.
Yeah, the bye comes into play. I think helps them a little bit on their home floor. Just a lot of factors going in their favor, so I'll take Borden. Sectional 62 at Edinburgh, six teams, Shaw Memorial in West Washington, Trinity Lutheran in Edinburgh. Medora gets the Shaw Memorial West Washington winner. Caruthersville gets the Trinity Lutheran Edinburgh winner. Just one team above 500. It's the host Lancers, Edinburgh sitting at 19.
Yeah, I haven't totally been sold on Edinburgh as a 1A state contender, but they have been playing well. They've kind of proved me wrong down the stretch there, Shark. Caleb Dewey, 22 points a game for him as a junior, pretty strong. So I think they're the class of the sectional. I think West Washington's got a chance to pull an upset, but not very likely. So I'll take Edinburgh.
Yeah, I'll take Edinburgh as well. They have some size here at the 1A level. And then really it's just there's not another team in their sectional, I think, that can challenge them. You know, they're
far and away the class of the field here. So I think I'll go Edinburgh as well.
Yeah.
Sectional 63 at Ligoti, six teams here. Probably the best 1A sectional field in the state here. Got four teams that can really do some damage as terms of how far they can go in 1A. North Davies gets winless Washington Catholic on the first Tuesday game. Orleans and Ligoti, the second Tuesday game. Shoals will face the North Davies Washington Catholic winner. And Bar Reeve, last year's 1A state champs, awaits the Orleans Ligoti.
Yeah, great 1A teams in this sectional. You could, like you say, you could take four teams. And, you know, they would have a chance to win the whole state title in 1A. But starting things off, I would put North Davies a slight favorite. They lost to Bar Reeve by three in overtime in January. Jalen Mullen leading the way as a junior point guard for them. Really tough. They've got a lot of depth behind him that will do the dirty work, will hit outside shots, got some decent size and athleticism for a 1A team. So North Davies is going to be really tough to beat. Bar Reeve with Hagen Knepp Sr. going to Grace. He's had a fantastic year. They've started to play the way that we kind of expected them to begin the season. Really turned it on here lately. So Bar Reeve is right there neck and neck with North Davies at the top of my list, Shark. But then you got Ligoti with Peyton Bledsoe and Orleans right behind him. This is going to be a tough one to pick.
Yeah, you look at North Davies with Jalen Mullen, who is just a fantastic point guard. They've had some big wins this year. Bar Reeve kind of got off to a slow start. I think part of that had to do with just missing Bryson Graber, the point guard position, the four-year starter who graduated last year, one of the all-time leader in assists in the state of Indiana. Just finding somebody who could make life easy for Hagen Knepp. I think they've kind of come of age this year, and Josh Thompson's always going to have the Vikings ready to go when it comes to postseason. But gosh, you look at Ligoti, and you know they'd be the favorite in almost any other 1A sectional. We're talking about them kind of as an afterthought after North Davies and Bar Reeve, and I don't think we can count the Lions out either. So tough to pick here, Trevor. I think I'm going to go with North Davies. The path is just pretty easy for them. You have a great creator in Mullen who can score or distribute. You got a lot of guys who play well off of
it. Yeah, no doubt. I'd like North Davies. Bar Reeve turning that corner, though, has me wanting to pick them. This could be a coin flip, Shark. I'm going to go North Davies. It's just the draw is just a little bit easier for them. That's pushing me towards North Davies, Shark.
And let's head to our last 1A sectional, sectional 64 at Springs Valley. Vincennes, Reveille, and Cannelton get us started on Tuesday night. Then Springs Valley and Wood Memorial. Northeast Dubois faces the Reveille Cannelton winner. And Evansville Day will face the Springs Valley Wood Memorial winner. Just one team above 500 here. It's the host, the Blackhawks, Springs Valley at 19.
Yeah, great year for Springs Valley. Seems like every time I've seen their score, I've been impressed with them. You know, they lost the first two games of the year, lost another one before Christmas to Ligoti, and then they've ran the table ever since, Shark. So playing well, beat a good Gibson Southern team, beat Eastern Pekin. This is a pretty tough team here, Shark. So I'm going to take the 19-3 Springs Valley to win.
Yeah, there's just not another team here that can challenge them. The next best record in the field is 8-13 Evansville Day with Tyler Myers. But yeah, just not a suitable challenger for the Blackhawks here. So I'm going to go Springs Valley as well.
Yeah, speaking of Tyler Myers, I mean, he's got a chance to break Damon Bailey's scoring record. He's put up a ton of points, just a junior, over 2,000 career points already, I believe. So he's going to make a run at Damon Bailey's record next year, and I don't think too many people have been paying attention to it.
So there's our sectional picks here, Trevor. We'll get started here on Tuesday, March 1st with sectional play going in through Saturday night, and a lot of good action around the state. We're excited to be covering it once again for you, and look forward to seeing you out there at games.
No doubt. We've got to make our pre-tournament state picks here, Shark. Don't go skipping out on us now.
All righty. So
let's start. We were wrapped up on 1A. Might as well start there, Shark. Who you got in 1A?
I've got Gary 21st Century 3-1, and I just think the athleticism, the quickness, and the point guard play of Ashton Williamson is going to be too much for anybody, especially in 1A North, to handle. I think they're the clear favorite up in the northern half of the state. I think they get it done here.
1A. Yeah, it seems like 1A North is just so much easier than 1A South, and 21st is the clear favorite in 1A North, so I think the easy, safe pick is 21st Century Shark, and I'm going with them as well. 2A, who you got in 2A, Shark?
2A, I think there's about four or five teams I could see conceivably cutting down the nets in 2A, but I'm gonna go down to Southern Indiana with Linton Stockton. I think Joey Hart, his squad gets it done here. I'm gonna take the Miners.
All right. That's a good pick. I think they'd probably be the favorite, I would think, Shark. I'm going to go with Blackhawk Christian. They're going to have some tough challenges with whoever gets out of that Cherubusco sectional with Central Noble or Eastside, but I'm going to go Blackhawk Christian. Like how they're playing. Obviously, they've won a ton in the past few years, so I'll go with the Brave Shark.
All right, 3A, Trevor, who you got here? It seems like 3A is always a pretty wide open class here now with Silver Creek getting hit by graduation. It becomes really wide open. What are you thinking in 3A, Trevor?
Yeah, this might be the most wide open of all the classes. And you could pick a 3A champion that might not even make it out of sectional. So definitely going to be a tough one. Man, I'm going to go Marion. Certainly going to be tested a few times before even getting down to state. Might not make it out of sectional like we said. So definitely a tough one, but I'll take Mishawaka and Marion, Shark.
Man, like you said, there's so many teams that might not make it out of section in 3A that we can consider state title contenders. You know, I think you look at, like you said, Mishawaka Marion. I think you have to talk about John Glenn, who beat Mishawaka Marion the regular season. You get down to Northwood, Norwell, Brebeuf, you know, Greensburg, Connersville. I think there's a lot of Sullivan, a lot of really good teams here. Brownstown Central, we can throw them in there. I picked them to win sectional in kind of an upset pick.
Don't do it, Shark.
I'm going to go with the Greensburg Pirates.
Oh, I thought you were going a homer pick.
No, I think you have Brendan Stanley in the middle, a little bit undersized, but perfect glue guy at the 3A level. And then you got two really dynamic guards in Kai Dwyer and Colin Comer. So I'm going to take the Pirates here.
Nice. Who are you going with in 4A, Shark?
Oh, man. 4A is just so tough here. I think you look at, you know, obviously whoever comes out of Sectional 8 and Sectional 10, you have to consider favorites here. You have Bloomington North. You have Valpo. You have Chesterton coming out of Sectional 2, whoever gets out of there. Homestead, obviously, with Fletcher Lawyer. You know, you can't take them for granted here. It's just so hard to pick. There's so many quality teams. Nobody so far above the rest, but so many quality options here in 4A.
Yeah. On the Indy Star sectional draw podcast, Shark, I went with Carmel just because we got to see him lose a postseason game, and I don't remember the last time that happened. But I'm going to take a page out of your book, Shark, go a little homer pick, go with the undefeated Chesterton Trojans to cut down the nets, Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Oh, we're partying in Cheesetown if that happens. Free gel Sosimos for everybody on Trevor.
Maybe some flans, but I don't know about gel Sosimos. That bill could get pretty high, Shark.
Let's see. I'm going to go Carmel. Like you said, I think, you know, until somebody can knock them off, they have to be considered the favorite. Pete Suter really coming on his senior year, kind of just a glue guy for most of his career, you know, kind of fit in, didn't take over games offensively. We're seeing that from him this year. You have Josh Wack, one of the best defenders, if not the best defender in the entire state. Sam Orme, capable of hitting shots from his forward position. Jared Bonds, Charlie Williams. I mean, just such a quality roster, you know, 1-7, 1-8. So I'm going to go ahead and give the Greyhounds the benefit of the doubt here and pick them for 4A.
Sounds good, Shark. Appreciate your efforts tonight through the Zoom problems and everything and being a homer. You really battled through it, Shark.
I appreciate that, Trevor. And we'll see how these picks come out next.
All right. Sounds good. Good luck to all the teams participating in sectionals this week, and we'll see you next week.